The deals in the D.com studios for another Drew and Mike show for Thursday. And I was just talking with Mark and Brandon and Trudy off the air about all the people calling the boner line about drops. And we'd ask for drops that you don't hear on the show that maybe we forgot about or we haven't got them in the system yet. 209-66-BONER. You can email the show, Drew at Drew and Mike Podcast or any other people here. Brandon, I guess you got a lot of response to that.
Yeah, a lot of great response, too. A lot of people seem to send in maybe their favorite drops, but we're, of course, looking for maybe ones that you don't think we have anymore because we do have a big, big, large library, and sometimes because of buzzwords, we don't find them, so that'd be fun, but got some great ones today that people had called in. I'll get those put together for a boner line in the future. Everything from stuff, you know, Harris poll people.
Play one.
Yeah. Well.
I don't want no more kids, but I give you a paint job.
Oh! That's the Negro League's catcher.
At Ted Radcliffe? Is that right?
Yeah, Ted Radcliffe.
Double duty.
Double duty. Awesome guy.
And nobody knew what a paint job was up until that point, did they?
I sure didn't.
No.
God, I've learned so much from this show.
That's where you lick it.
Yeah. It's like going to, I've got like a PhD and I don't know what.
How about this one? How about this one here?
See if you remember this one.
I can't hardly hear you.
That guy.
He had my daughter married a black boy and wasn't much I could do about it. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Don't we have a few uh-huhs of his too, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
I have to say, I've been getting these on email, too, and I noticed the same confusion. People, you know, my favorite drops versus drops that I wish I heard more. And I don't know what to say about this, but people seem to love a number of drops that involve black people. Like, did Tawana tell you to do that? Ruth Williams is a massive favorite.
Did Tawana tell you that?
Well, we always know that they are, you know, when it comes to man on the street, you know, there's going to be people who are a lot better than others.
Black people.
News actualities. Yeah.
Always. No, black people.
She needs to go.
You know, this is going to sound hokey, but there's
girl,
more.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong Charles. Here. Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway.
White people just tend to be very bland and white.
Mm-hmm.
When they're asked about something, and I think they're uptight, too. They're wondering how they look and probably how they're coming
the
across.
The whistles go, woo!
Black people seem very colorful. I don't know. I mean, they always use sound effects when they're describing something.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a bunch of those. I've never heard a white person do that. Anyway.
I got bronchitis. I'm going to get Rachel
here. I'm going to get Rachel.
Yeah, keep them coming. It's not just black drops. I just noticed some black people drops seem to be very popular. Facebook Live brought to you by deathwishcoffee.com/Drew.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me.
Use the code Drew15 at checkout to get 15% off your entire order. Now, she's a real popular drop person.
Robisha.
Oh, my
fat
God.
Fat men, white men, old men, young men. Just long they got money and crack cocaine, I can have mine every day.
I got to say, she might be the one I say the most often as I'm watching TV down here. I'm sure you've heard me go,
who gives a fuck?
whenever there's a story on. Because the TV's always going.
And she's
you need
real.
To get up off your fat ass and lose them that goddamn
that
weight.
There's. I was just saying that when I was watching the Polish president in the Rose Garden today. They were live.
Oh, they were? Rose Garden speeches are the best for drops. Did he say anything ridiculous?
He did say a couple of fun things. But then the Polish president is talking at length about some statue that got torn down. And I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Who cares? All about you.
In Poland? Boo-hoo.
You.
Well, today... Since you mentioned the Polish president, did you see that somebody, and I'm saying somebody.
And this is just someone?
Yeah, this is just someone.
Hey, Larry.
Somebody got some pictures of Putin's kids out.
which he's very guarded. Like
nobody sees my kids.
And
are they hot?
No. I mean, honestly, I was like, oh, no wonder he doesn't want the. It's not security. It's oh my. I mean, because he thinks he's hot.
Yeah. Are they soft? Do they look soft?
Well, they're females. I mean, I hate saying this because they didn't do anything. But
who's their mom?
They're just. I don't think I'd want a lot of pictures floating around.
Well, their mom is Ludmila or whatever. That he divorced her in 2014 so he could start banging away the hot chicks.
Is the ex-wife, is she hideous?
Well, I think as no, I mean when she was younger she was pretty, but as time went on, I think she just became old Russian.
What are their names? Accident One and Oopsie? No. Oopsie and Accident?
What happened to the genes? Although he's not. I mean, Maria
and Yakutarina.
Isn't he short?
They're probably him in female form. Have you guys seen the pictures yet? Have you looked at
them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can believe it. What do you think, Ben? Did you think the same thing?
I've seen pictures of them in the past. I don't know why I did a Putin deep dive one day, and I don't know. Maybe it was one of those badass pictures of him riding a bear without a shirt on or something, and I just kept looking into it. Because he is an interesting person, being like the head of the KGB back in the 80s during the height of the Cold War, and to where he's at now, where he's pretty much president for life. So the daughters, the oldest one I thought was pretty. It's the youngest one that looks a little I don't want to be mean, but she just...
And a beautiful description Chernobyl of a human DNA. Being. What a great description of a human being. She looks a little...
Well,
no, I think it's perfect.
The phony Russia hoax.
Yakutarina? I can't remember her name.
Yakov?
Yakutarina.
Well, they're lovely ladies, and I'm so sorry that happened to Putin. But anyway, deep dives are funny. You know,
my daughter dumped me.
Is that Putin? Did he get dumped by his daughter?
Brandon talking about his Putin deep dive. I have been diving like wildfire watching. Okay, this is so weird. I'm watching a series on Netflix, and you know, this sounds so okay boomerish, but you know, it used to be you watch something like, you know, Here on Gilligan's Isle, and it had a theme song, and it was real easy to sort of get used to the name of it, and there weren't that many shows. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm watching the Pablo Escobar series. I don't even care what the name of it is. It pops up every time I put it on Netflix. It's got 74 episodes.
Oh boy.
And I'm on like 29. I know, I'm on like 33.
I noticed that Drew said one season, 74 episodes. One season.
I don't know why. I don't know what. I don't know. Whoever thought anything could have 74 episodes?
Is this the theme song to it? Let's see.
That might. Sounds familiar.
Sounds like a great one.
It's Narcos.
Oh,
it's not.
Narco, okay.
It is Narcos. Will you check and see if Narcos has 74? Fuck. I feel so stupid because people have been asking me, what's the name of that?
I asked you yesterday.
I know, and I didn't really know.
You said it was all in Spanish, so.
It was.
So now you're on the Narcos?
I don't know what I'm watching.
It the whole time?
You know, maybe it just comes on my TV and no other TVs. Well,
I got to say, isn't that kind of an issue with Netflix? Because you've said that before, and it never pops up on my Netflix because I haven't watched the things that you've watched to make it pop up.
That's right.
So that's why you're getting every Pablo Escobar thing ever made.
I think
the algorithm's
going,
this guy loves Pablo. Let's give him more.
I'm pretty confident that it's the 2012 series, Pablo Escobar, The Drug Lord.
Oh, does it have 74 episodes?
Very nerdy.
Yeah. It's got 74 episodes.
That's a pretty good clue.
It's
okay, so it's
old.
Not Narcos.
I swear you have seen Narcos.
I thought I had too.
Narcos
but I don't
only
care.
Has
30
episodes.
Hey, I'm just in the endless desire for more knowledge and information that will help me in some way. And how many times have I mentioned how brilliant the drug lords are that I wish we could get them all together to solve real problems?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, you know, like so many evil people, they're brilliant in an evil way. And if you just, you know, if they're in prison, why not just put them in a conference room and say, hey, you know, let's figure out this racism thing. I wonder what their solution would be if their job was, let's get all wages equal for the same jobs for, you know, people of all races and, you know, minorities, et cetera. I wonder what their solution would be. It'd be kind of funny to, I would love to hear it. I mean, we don't have to do it.
Well,
most of them are dead.
Do they make a lot of money doing whatever it is? Because their solution will be whatever makes them a lot of money.
Well, no, but I mean, if you could refocus them on, if you paid them a lot of money, okay, the closer you get wages to being equal for the same jobs, the more money we pay you.
Okay.
Then they'll do it.
All right.
Because Pablo, oh my God, he is so, The greed is just incredible. And I like, as every episode goes on, and I've read three books on Pablo Escobar, and I'm still just blown away. And yesterday, I got into a really deep dive, and it was really fun because the Pablo Escobar series started crossing over with the movie Blow! And I figured out, oh, that's that guy from Blow! Because they don't have the same names.
Wait,
Carlos Later?
Yeah, Carlos Later, who was, what was his name in Blow?
Was he was Diego in Blow.
Diego, thank you. And he's
the actors, not the characters or the actors.
The characters' names are different.
I got you.
And okay. They're not the same as the real guy. So it's like you're going, oh, you know, I'm just struggling like crazy. Then I just looked up, I found the actor's name, and then I'm like, oh, who's he playing? And it's like, ah, duh, Carlos Later. Carlos is the guy.
That's a great name.
I think more people have watched Blow than probably anything in this category.
Yeah.
He's Diego in Blow. He has the Norman's Cay Island, which is where Fire Festival is going to be, which also kind of, I wish they could get that in the, move it up in the movie somehow, or in the series, because it's 1994 when it ends, I think. But that place was incredible, and I was watching a tour of Norman's Cay today on YouTube. And this is years later, so it's all, I mean, all these beautiful homes he's built, which all have special names, like Volcano and, you know, Ocean View. They're all, like, kind of decrepit. And then there's like these incredible, this incredible imported tile on the floor, and you know this incredible tile on this giant smokestack, or fireplace, not a smokestack.
Come on, your house sucks.
Anyway, I was fascinated by that guy, Carlos Later in Blow, because he was such a badass. Remember, he cut off Johnny Depp, George Jung, and went directly to Pee Wee Herman. He cut him out and cut him out of all that money. And I don't know how in the world these people blow through all this money, because, you know, as you read about these people more and more, you find out that, oh, he really doesn't have that much money anymore. It's like, what? You had $2 billion. Carlos Later had $2 billion. And he's,
life can be so unfair.
He paid his attorney $1.2 million in 87, and then he sued to get it back in 91, representing himself. And I'm like, oh, I want to see that trial! Because, you know, he's representing himself. But in the Pablo Escobar series, he's a lot like Diego. I mean, I think there's a lot of consistency there. First of all, he loves young boys. He loves hot women. He's bisexual, and he just wants to bang away, which is pretty wild. I mean, and you have this guy who has
is
no...
Is that from the Blow, or what?
I don't know. Does Blow make you gay?
Well, if he just wants to bang away.
No, I got to believe that he has a proclivity to have sex with anyone. I think if there's anything that bears the potential for feeling good, he likes it. Hmm. And he parties up a storm, and once he gets excited about something, like he gets a few drinks in him, he'll just start going, boom, 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 shooting his gun off.
Oh, that's great. Fun.
Or start the party. Yeah, he's wild. So anyway, he's all drugged and drunk up, and he's walking around his pool. There's all these, like, 15, 16-year-old kids from Medellin who are apparently gay, and he's ordering them to, like, boo-foo.
Hmm.
He's like, ah, let's go. You get on him. You get on him. And Pablo, meanwhile, Pablo Escobar has been ordered to give up. You got to give somebody up, because we need, he's paid off all these people in the military, in politicians.
It's starting to look bad.
Yeah, it's starting to look bad. So you got to give somebody up. So, God, what's his fucking name? I can't think of his name on this series, but it's just assume it's Diego from Blow. If you've seen the same guy, Carlos Later. So Pablo decides, I'm going to give up Carlos. And so Carlos is having this huge party, and he tells all the other drug lords, you know what, don't go to Carlos's party. They're going to raid it, because he's called the general and said, yeah, take him. And so all the other drug lords turn around. They all are like, oh, should we call him? Should we call him? Tell him to get out of the party. And like, no, we already called him. So he gets arrested, and they immediately extradite him to the U.S., which was their incredible fear. In fact, they went by the extraditables, I think was what they called themselves, which I thought, well, shouldn't they be the non-extraditables? Because that's what they're fighting all the time is, you know, you will not do this. Colombia is a sovereign nation. They always act like it's really political. You know, it's all about Colombia. It's really because they know the U.S. is the end of the road. So Carlos Later And I'm so bummed when he gets caught because he's so much fun. He's the best character. He's crazy and he's funny.
Do they call him Marco?
Marco. Yes.
Marco Herbert.
Marco Hebert, yes. Marco Herbert.
Okay. He was played by Alejandro Martinez, who is a Colombian actor.
He is fantastic. He's so good. And he's speaking Spanish, so I mean, I'm reading the thing on the screen. I'm actually enjoying that part of it. I'm bilingual, so I'm sort of brushing up on the language.
So handsome, then why do you marry him?
He is a stud. He was a stud. I mean, everyone agrees.
He's so handsome. Look at him. Just look at him.
I missed out, man.
Guys wanted
seriously,
him.
If you think he's so handsome, go marry him.
Chicks wanted him. Everybody wanted him. So anyway, I'm literally rooting for him when they're raiding the place. Because I don't remember, you know, how this
spoiler
goes.
Spoiler alert.
Be free, you know, and they bust him, and it's such a bummer. And he's next thing you know, he's got a bulletproof vest on. They're flying him to the U.S., and he's cursing up a storm at all the people who are keeping track of him. And then I, you know, of course, it's 1987 in the show, so I go, where's Carlos now? Where's Carlos Leader? I mean, he had $2 billion. He had that Norman's K. They wanted to have the fire festival there. In fact, they didn't have it. Well, they didn't have it at all, but they moved it because if you remember, they said, come to an event on Pablo Escobar's Island.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd been told, do not mention Carlos Escobar. And that was the end of that. They booted him.
Where is he? I want to talk to him.
And by the way, the Carlos Escobar Museum has just been blown up.
What?
Like a few years ago. Yeah, there's a Carlos Escobar Museum. And tourism in Medellin in Colombia is all about the drug lords. People want to go to all their houses, and that's all they want to see. And it was actually significant. And they finally
said, I didn't
even
know that existed.
They finally said,
blew up before I even got a chance to go. That's bullshit.
I know. I would go. I would absolutely go. I would love to go on a tour.
I want to go to a zoo and see all those hippos that are roaming wild in his old house.
I know. He has a virtually complete zoo. And at one point, somebody wants to steal zebras from them. So they paint donkeys white and black and take the zebras
swap
away.
Swap them out. Brilliant.
What?
That is brilliant. Come on. How else are you going to steal a zebra?
We have elephants and giraffes and crocodiles and every kind of tigers and lions.
Who's the poor?
There might have been horses. I don't remember what it was. It's just like, wait, they're painting those animals. What the fuck?
Who's the poor low-level schlub that had to paint them black and white?
There's so many poor low-level schlubs. By the way, the drug lords, just in case you're wondering, they killed 46,700 and some people.
Jesus.
And a lot of them, I mean, that's in the Escobar years from 82 to 93. And there's one guy in this series who said he was in a class when he first became a policeman and he moved up in the army. But when he was in his class, there were 152 graduates who became police. 149 of them were murdered.
Whoa.
149.
Wow.
So I'm like, where's Carlos? This guy's so cool. He's awesome. I mean, I want to watch him do whatever he's doing. And I look up Carlos and it says he got life plus 135 years. I'm like, oh my God. And he's still alive, and I'm getting a little excited. And then I see his headline. There's like a billion stories. Carlos Leader released 7 days ago. Yeah. He just got out.
Oh my
God. He just got out. He's 70.
Is he on Twitter yet?
I don't know.
Is he on TikTok?
I didn't see anything for him.
He's got a podcast. Does he have a podcast?
Should we call George?
Oh yeah, we have George's number.
Sure, we can call him.
Fuck yeah, let's call George. Hold on, let me go. I mean, are you guys interested in this? It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's exciting.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to watch.
Isn't somebody following Carlos?
Carlos is in Germany. Carlos has been sent to Germany. His father was German-Colombian. And so I guess they figure, where can we send him where he's not going to immediately get into drug dealing? He doesn't know anyone in Germany. I don't know if he's been to Germany.
How much money does he have hidden anywhere?
Yeah, that's a great question. He's got to. I mean, how can you lose? Although Escobar had houses that they did nothing but fill with cash.
Yeah, that was in Blow.
Which were used as safe houses eventually for him. And I can't wait to get that part. I want to skip to the final three episodes, but it's so hard.
We don't have George Jung's number.
So
the only thing
us.
That I have is related PJ? To Jung is Jamie Junger's number.
So let's call her. Jamie, yeah, she can comment.
Did George call us?
I think that was set up with Grogreen.
Yeah,
can PJ? Maybe? Oh, just thinking out loud?
Yeah.
Text PJ?
I'm looking for it.
PJ's back at
work. I think I might have it, actually.
So, man, oh man, what a crazy story. God, those fuckers are crazy. And the poor girl I talked about the other day, who was, I think, 14 or 15, maybe 16. Oh, she's beautiful. Not because she's 16. I'm just saying the actress playing her is beautiful. I'm assuming Yasenia in real life was beautiful. Pablo gets her pregnant, and she goes. She shows up there, which you don't do. You don't just show up at Pablo's joint, but she does.
Read the room, Jesus. I know.
To tell him that I'm pregnant with your baby, and Carlos is not as happy as she wants him to be, but he ends up chloroforming her, taking her for an abortion, and then sending her home. And he has one of his men look after her. And, of course, that guy falls in love with her because she's so hot. And she falls in love with him. And Pablo doesn't know. And then Pablo finds out. So he says, this guy's, first of all, I'm getting nervous watching this conversation. So I was like, so you got a girlfriend, huh? And he says, yeah. Yasenia. Yeah, Yasenia. And he's just, and you're like, oh, God, is he going to just fucking shoot this guy? He doesn't usually do that. He usually has someone else do it. But so eventually he gives him the option. He can kill Yasenia or they can kill him.
Oh, whoa. What does he decide?
That's how Pablo operates.
Is that a cliffhanger?
He kills Yasenia.
Maybe the worst negotiator I've ever seen.
And I'm like, oh, my God, this poor Yasenia. She's chloroformed for an abortion. She's killed by the... I mean, I don't know why she had to get mixed
up. Who made these deals?
One of Pablo's guys, but they made her seem like a real sweet girl. I'm still kind of bummed out about it. But, yeah, there's so much craziness. And this guy, Carlo, he's going to get into something, isn't he? He's got to. He's not going to just go straight.
No. Well, he's going to make money.
By the way, how does he get out? Because he killed a ton of people. I mean, he killed a ton of people.
Good behavior.
Well, I know he testified against Pablo Escobar and some other drug lords, and so I think they took the 135 years extra off, but then he's still doing life. So how's he do 33 years?
I mean, this is not
a person who should ever see the light of day. I mean, there's
and 33 still.
Years.
Maybe he has coronavirus.
It's like there's one of Pablo's hitmen. And I can't remember if he's Chili or the Mole, because Chili and the Mole kill
Sounds
virtually
like a great
everyone.
Morning show.
I thought it's exactly what
like
I thought.
Like Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, Chili and the Mole.
I can't remember if it's Chili or the Mole, but one of them killed, they knew, they could prove that he killed, I believe it's 55 people or some, you know, it's actually way more than that.
Welcome back to Chili and the Mole in the morning.
Anyway, he does.
Yes, nice to mole you. Meet you. Nice to meet your mole. Don't say Mo. I said Mo.
I think he did 20 years, 25 years, something like that. He got out. Then he became he did drug lord tours.
20 years.
And took selfies with people. And then he just died a little while ago. But
selfie.
Nice life. Oh, my God. It's crazy. And Escobar, and I think this is true, too. He gets crazier and crazier because there's so many times in this thing where you go, oh, man, just pull back. Don't go after the Cali cartel. I mean, look how much shit's going on. And he gets worse and worse and worse and more crazy. And it's because it's so true. And I always go, wait, why would you do that? You just got caught doing that and you got out of that. So why? Everything you get away with, these people always do. It just emboldens them. It really
cocaine
does.
Is a hell of a drug.
We're talking about Michael Jackson. Agreed. You know,
they
pays
can't
a kid,
stop.
Pays a 12-year-old $23 million to shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. And what does he do? He takes a 12-year-old on tour with him next, and they dress the same, and the kid comes out on stage, and oh my God,
he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Well, and he knows he got away with it too. And when he went to trial,
well, which one do you think it is? Do you think he got away with it, or do you think he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong?
I think he knows he got away with it.
I think
maybe.
I think he might know what's wrong. I think he probably thinks it shouldn't be wrong, but I think he knows. Yeah. It's funny though. Those guys, you know, the two guys in the documentary.
Hurt a child? I would slip my wrist. I would never hurt a child.
They did so well. I bet you he thought I gave them a star. They're doing. Look how well they're doing. Because of my penis. And look with George.
I sent a text. So we'll see.
Oh, okay. Cool. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, dealsnadie.com. All pumped. Community customers and Zot back at full strength to safely serve your automotive needs. They've got the deals. They've got, let's see, they've got the Drive Forward event. And you can go online, enjoy their enhanced online shopping, dealsnadi.com. Check out the deals like a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn, only $188 a month. Or if Jeeps are what you dig, check out the new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. And there's always a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247. And the Wrangler. Get Zot employee pricing, 0% financing, $1,500 in rebates. They're making it very, I think they're being very persuasive with some of this pricing. If you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now, $1,500 in rebates, 0% financing. So go to dealsnadi.com and check it out. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And is emergency response on today?
Yep.
They are, okay.
I think everybody's on today.
Emergency Response Services Incorporated. If you hate water as much as I do, fucking water! It's great to know Emergency Response Services Incorporated, Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business water extraction or drying needs. And then, of course, the mold afterwards. If you got that, maybe you got the water out, but you're worried about the mold. Get the pros in. Storm damage, fire damage, 877-JOB-DONE. Put it on the fridge. 877jobdone.com if you want to go online and tell them we sent you. And they are still doing COVID-19 disinfecting of service vehicles and businesses.
Tremendous amounts of water.
Hey, is NASCAR, are they having fans at Talladega? That's what I thought I heard this morning.
They did.
5,000?
Yeah, they had a select amount of fans.
Oh, the race already happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the one with the...
I wasn't sure if they were like, this was race week for Talladega coming up, or it was...
No, it just passed. And remember, they had like two rain delays.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, this thing is... You know, I don't want to spend a ton of time. I feel like I should put the egg timer on all topics like Bubba, because, you know, I'm talking to Matt on the phone about garage doors and pull. And it's like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to dive into all the little garbage. I'm watching TMZ where Harvey and Charles are now experts on garage doors. And it's like, this is so stupid. It was not intended.
Start your engines.
It was not intended for him. It was not. So sure. It doesn't, you know, why he has to go on Don Lemon and say, it's still a noose. It's a noose. And well, maybe it is. I mean,
showing more contrition in his newest statement.
Oh, I saw that. No, I don't want to get on Bubba's ass. I feel bad for him because first he has the trauma of thinking that someone is attacking him. Yeah. And then all these people support him. And it was really a nice thing. It really went very well. As it turns out, it wasn't for him because they have pictures of it. You know, quite a while ago, what, a year ago or 6 months ago?
At least 6 months.
So he goes on Don Lemon and The View, which I don't think are big NASCAR shows. NASCAR is, what's the crossover between NASCAR and Don Lemon?
Zero. No, there's no one.
Yeah, The View,
Bubba Wallace, he's the only one.
The View, I don't think so either, but, and then Michael Wilbon. On ESPN yesterday.
PTI or...
Was that dude?
Trudy, I don't even know. I know who Michael Wilbon is, but I'm not really into him. I don't watch PTI.
He does hot takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Hot takes.
Well, not anymore. He used to. No, he's just boring.
You know, in radio, Trudy, we used to hear a lot more back in the 80s, I think. Yeah. The whole business of benchmarks. You got to have benchmarks. You got to have benchmarks.
Boom! Hot take!
I think hot takes are worse than benchmarks.
Benchmarks are you use the same fucking thing every day at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always thought, but those people at 7:15 hear the same fucking thing every day at the same time. What if they're sick of it? And if it's so fucking good you're doing it every day, why don't you move it around? Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't that make... Well, then they came up with a clock where you would move it around. You'll do it here on Monday. You'll do it here on Tuesday. Here on Wednesday. It's like, oh, this is just brain surgery. Isn't this amazing?
It's always good when guys who don't... Do radio.
Well, you know,
figure it out for you. Strategize.
I'm trying to think.
How else would consultants have a job?
I know,
right?
Oh, consultants, Jesus! And the ones that I knew, in fact, one that got me fired, they're still doing it. They're still probably making lots and lots of money, writing these insipid articles.
Fired when?
In Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Not that I was Fred Jacobs. I like Fred Jacobs. Yeah, congratulations, Fred went into the Hall of Fame.
He did.
He went into the Radio Hall of Fame.
How many home runs?
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah.
That's how baseball just put him in.
Well, the other sports radio.
As I say, that consultant pushed you out.
Yeah. So
what's he doing now? Let's see.
Anyway, I'm trying to think of a radio show I really, really liked that went by the book, like how they told you to do it. Like, do the same thing, you know, that are known for this. I mean, a show that I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I'm not saying they're not good at what they do, and I don't disrespect them, but I just never. I don't even know how that worked.
Remind me to show you his Twitter later.
Wait. Oh, our consultant's Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's got a lot of great advice, man.
Really? Sure he does. Oh, I need some.
Boom! Hot take!
Forward me that.
And a lot of interaction, too.
So
I want to be a consultant on his Twitter page because he's not doing enough to get enough interaction.
Oh,
would it be funny to consult and criticize the consultants?
Yes. Why isn't there a consultant for the consultants?
I don't know.
And just in case anybody thinks consulting is a wonderful business. Yeah, Monica Conyers, she was a great consultant if she got out of prison. I think you can actually find chicanery going on just by who is using certain consultants. You go, well, they're shady because they're using.
Somebody by the name of Monica Conyers.
So. Today, ugh. I noticed that, and Brandon, what happened?
I can't look at it anymore. Sorry.
It's really revolting. Someone needs to do something about that. We need Pablo Escobar.
I agree with that.
I'm telling you, they could solve anything if you just pay them for it. There's another really good one. I'll finish with Pablo. But Pablo is called by the Cali cartel, which is, you know, a huge, you know, billionaires guys, and they all live in these incredible homes. Oh, Pablo, by the way, his kid was told he couldn't go to the school. So,
God, who would do that?
I know, stupid people who don't realize what's going on, which I wouldn't think there'd be any. But so Pablo was so upset. The kid's really bummed out about it, and he's playing with his little cars. He's got like 8 or 9 little cars, like model cars. So the next day, you see 9 cars, exactly like his little models, real cars, driving into his downstairs garage, his like underground garage.
How old is this kid?
He bought him the real life model of every toy car he had.
Wow. That's cool.
I thought that was pretty cool, too. I mean, normally my reaction would be, oh, that spoiled fucking kid. He's 9. He was 9.
Ha, that's my dad.
He's 9?
He's 9 years old.
When did he start driving? Anyway,
well, one of the other drug lords was going to take him out and have him drive.
I was going to say, I don't think he really
cared. What a stupid present.
I don't think he really cared if he had a license or not.
No. Oh, God, no.
It was a stupid question.
So, Brandon, I know you were talking a little bit about it yesterday. I didn't get into the Bubba this morning and the whole noose, and it's the FBI just said it wasn't intended for Bubba. Did they say what they thought it was? And did the FBI say it's a noose, but it wasn't intended for him? Or what did they say?
I think it was just a pull cord for a garage. I think that's what it was. I've seen several garages that have pull cords like that. Sometimes a noose is just a knot, I guess.
You know, that's what was driving me crazy.
I do want to say, I think their official phrasing was a rope fashioned like a noose.
Well,
which would lead to, and see, now you're getting into the stupid part, because, yeah, it probably just is a pull rope for a garage.
Well, that's when I was going fucking nuts today, when I'm calling 2 people to go, you know what a noose looks like?
Yeah.
Is there, and these are people that are fairly industrious. What is that used for? I mean, if it's not a noose, is there something else you could use it for? Well, I guess you could. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I even talking? This is so stupid.
Well, get ready. Cause there's another local story in, Grosse Pointe South. They're redoing a part of the school and a noose was found, but however, when you look at the, and Brandon, I think you'll know where I'm going with this.
I really, honestly,
the noose
trying to dial down these stupid. And that's not calling the story stupid. I just don't think I want to spend a radio show on these stories taking up half the show.
I'll be done with it in 10 seconds. The noose appeared to be fashioned out of a drapery cord by the window. Brandon, you've painted stuff, right? Around a window. Don't you put the drapery cord, loop it, and hang it up so it doesn't knot?
Yeah.
Is that all that?
Oh, absolutely. Cord, no. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And remember,
cord, I haven't done that personally, but I have done that with like ceiling tiles when I've had to work in ceilings. I've done that with electrical wires.
So the last time, wasn't there a noose found at one of the auto plants that they were redoing that section?
Yeah.
And Brandon, you and I said that's just electrical cords hanging down, tied a certain way, because you don't want it to be in a tight knot. You can't get out. where it's just looped around. It's not like a traditional noose where it's looped a bunch of times and it tightens.
Who are all these noose seers?
Well, I that's why I was wanting to know. That rope, that, the thing that's made that looks like a noose, is that another thing too? Or is that just, if a rope is made that way, does that mean it's for hanging a black person unjustly? I mean, that's how weird my mind is getting these days, because I just didn't know. I don't know much about rope, and I don't know much about knots. And
weren't you in the Boy Scouts?
I was kicked out of the Boy Scouts.
Before you got to rope tying?
Oh, what a badass.
Before rope tying. That was when I actually made a great catch, and I tumbled into the handicapped kid who was the son of of the den mother. Yeah. Well, I think that's why I got tossed out, but actually, well, there's some other incidents, too. Triple Threat Trio related incidents. And I also was behind on my badges. I was not.
Well, yeah, your rope tying ones.
You know,
which badge did you get though?
I don't even remember, Trudy. I just remember being told it's like my warning shot was that I didn't have the Cubs. I didn't have the Cub Scout attitude.
Already made like affinity of those at Scout Camp.
And I think that was the first time I was told by an authority figure that I didn't have the right attitude.
Yeah.
And it was not like it's thematic in my life.
Oh, yeah, you're not going
to believe. I want to set the world on fire.
We have the audio between you and that scoutmaster.
Not good. Going.
The hell you say?
I'm not. This is Skipper's old stuff and it doesn't fit. I'm staying home.
You're going to fall back in it. That's all you're going to do. Now get out of here.
Look.
Shut your pie hole. You look fine.
Look like an idiot.
You act like an idiot. You look fine.
Hey, you said you'd get me a new uniform.
I said I tried to get you a new uniform. Besides, this one is new. It's new to you.
Oh, look at the sleeves. Look at them. Now he's got
a comb. Piss and moan. All you can do is piss and moan.
Yeah, piss and moan. I know you're all jazzed up in you stuff.
Jazzed up.
They didn't have secondhand uniforms in my size.
That argument is so great.
Oh my God, the character makes me laugh so hard.
And that's one of the source of one of the great drops, too. Shut your pie hole.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Love Shut Your Pie Hole.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about De Niro's character in in Casino, because I was trying to explain something in this very chair, and you guys weren't really reacting at all. And I was like, what's going on? So it reminded me of De Niro. You remember when he's in court in Casino, and the judge is Tommy Smothers? And he's trying to get him to admit that he stayed at his hotel and he comped him at his hotel. And he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, hey, we had a dinner. And he goes, and finally, in the end, he just says, will you at least admit I was at the dinner? And he goes from, you know, I comped you multiple weekends to, will you just admit I was. And that's it was very funny. He just wanted, just please verify something, anything. I mean, it's weird when you're really trying to explain
just shut
something.
Your goddamn pie hole.
Sometimes just the tiniest bit of affirmation helps.
It's a hotshot hog.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, don't be sorry. Hey. I mean, nobody has to say anything. Nobody has to agree with anything. But it was just funny.
That was very good. Very original. Did you just make that up?
That's not what I thought. I was sorry.
Anyway, what I was getting at was Bubba Smollett, which was all over the Twitter this morning. Mm-hmm. Bubba Smollett. Bubba Smollett. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Jesus, here we go. People are just, you know, now Bubba's an asshole because it's not, you know, the noose wasn't intended for him and all this to-do happened. And it is, excuse me, it is kind of, I don't
know. People
say,
think he did it on purpose, even though NASCAR brought it to NASCAR,
attention.
NASCAR brought it to his attention.
I don't
they
know.
They felt they ran with it.
No, these are just, aren't these just assholes? I mean, isn't our world just constantly tilted by these? There's so many assholes and they all have a voice and they're really loud. I mean, honestly, when I say everyone should not have a voice, I don't mean everyone. I mean those fucking people who want to constantly stir shit up and they have the worst of intentions. And they have a lot of people who have good intentions and they really don't want to say anything. So you don't hear much from them, but the assholes will always speak up.
Do you think the fact that it was in Alabama, did that not help the case in the viewpoint of Alabama?
You mean for the state itself that they were angry? Oh, you mean because they got it's labeled Alabama. With this like, happened in Alabama?
If this was at the race in Vegas or Texas, it'd probably be a thing, but is it did it happen? Was it taken more serious because it was Alabama?
And so by virtue of being cleared of going after Bubba, they felt that they should be some. Maybe they should kiss their ass and say, "Hey, you guys are great."
No. That they believed it was legitimately a noose or something because
Alabama. Because it was Alabama.
That would be Florida. A different kind of broad brushing.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. I know.
I think they could be mad about that. Sure, they could.
How do you change those tires so fast?
By the way, I want to say this about
and it helped get rid of the Confederate flag too. Bubba did, so I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah, people were pissed. Some people pissed
are
about
so
that.
Pissed about that. They're just going to take a victory lap about this now.
And I'm here to tell you about the
Confederate flag. Ryan just said, being in Alabama and NASCAR, it's easy for people to believe that story.
Sure. And that's not necessarily fair to Alabama, but it's going to happen. And I'll tell you something else is going to happen is that people in the South and maybe other places, probably in rural places, are always going to like the Confederate flag. You can't just suddenly stamp it out and everybody, you know, who knows, and everyone suddenly knows better, and so it goes away. No, there's a lot of people who look at it as something, as in rebel. I'm a rebel. It's the rebel flag. It says something about you. You know, I'm a gun-toting motherfucking rebel.
Losers! Losers! Losers!
I'm a convict. I'm an outlaw. I'm a rebel. I'm not a Sunday school teacher.
If he hadn't been stopped, Kid Rock would probably still have the rebel flag at his shows because it means different people, different things to different people. But when you absolutely say, look, this is what it means to this group, and it really bothers them, then you're supposed to, you know, do this. And people don't always do as they're told. And I think it'll be a long time before we don't see any rebel flags anywhere.
Oh, sure. But businesses like NASCAR have decided that it's not in our best interest to have that at our races now. We've evolved. It's evolved to the point where it's not on, you know, remember South Carolina brought it down after the Charleston shooting. Mississippi's fighting this really big fight because the NCAA said, we're not doing anything in Mississippi until that's not your flag anymore.
Well, that's how you make people do things. You can make people do anything.
No one's going to get thrown in jail for having one.
But honestly, you know, these are symbolic things, the statues, the rebel flag. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really funny the other day when I got in this thing about college being discriminatory because certain people can very easily go to college. They can very easily go to Stanford and Harvard and Yale and spend, you know, a couple $100,000 getting a degree that will take them to the top.
You still have to get in.
Yeah, you have to get in. But any college degree will make you more valuable than a person without a college degree. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, when I was really thinking about that, I'm thinking, well, I have a college degree and shit, it's important. Oh. Look what I did. But usually now, and I noticed this with Evan too, when talk about college, it's like a big party. It wasn't really that you did something that was so incredible. You should be lifted above all these other people who either couldn't afford it or didn't want to go into massive debt. Brandon, you should be jumping in on this, by the way.
Now, I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree that A, college isn't for anyone, but B, I do think that anyone would be able to go to college and pass college, much like people can go through high school. The question is,
nice broad
who
brush.
Wants to go through there? And the
expense makes it, you're saying that you have to have this to get this job, and if you don't have it, you're eligible for this shit job and this shit job and that shit job. And that is far, far more damaging than the rebel flag to any minority group who is unable to go to college, which there are in the black community. Black men just don't go to college.
Which is why you see a lot of the public universities starting to increase accessibility for lower income people, black or white.
Well, my point was that you could make companies not demand a college degree. What happens is...
Really? You want to make private companies?
You could. Here's how it works. Just like it works where they have diversity classes and unconscious bias classes, is you start talking about it, it becomes a big thing, and then companies go, we're not going to demand a college degree for this job or this job. We're not going to do that anymore because they're salespeople, and you don't have to go to college to be a salesperson or this, you know, and then other people feel the pressure to do the same. And it's just like we pressure companies into doing anything. I'm not saying it's going to happen because I don't believe it will.
I should be back in school.
I think college is so entrenched as if you want to talk about something systemic, the value of college is systemic. And I could go back to, you know, reading the Iliad or reading the Odyssey, did that make me any better?
Probably. No! What was the plot of both of those, by the way?
What's that?
What was the plot of those? I don't even remember.
Oh my God!
What that was
really
about?
Really want to get into this?
I would like my doctor and lawyer to go to college, though.
Those are professions. Those are professional people. But my college degree means nothing. It meant, honestly, I would be better at my job.
I fully admit mine means very, very little. Nothing.
Hey,
I feel like I feel like I actually learned a lot there.
I don't agree with any of those things you guys are saying.
I mean, I could do what I'm doing today.
I would have been better off if I'd started in radio when Doug Podell did when he was 17.
Yeah.
And I would have gotten, because, you know, it took me 10, wait.
I'm fucking 17.
10 years to get to Detroit.
Do you think you learned anything in college?
Oh, yeah, I'd learned some things. I learned about growing up. I think people grow up in college. It's like a little island where you go to have fun and to have some responsibility and, you know, manage your checking account and things like that. But
you needed college to learn how to manage your checking
account. No, that's my point is I think it's a pretty elitist thing.
Back then.
And I don't think I think if we're talking about, you know, because when people keep using the word systemic, and I really want to get off this topic.
Well, Christian just posted kind of what I was getting at. Critical thinking is what I used to think you learned in college or at university. Do you think you learned how to think critically?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't. I think I had common sense, and it got better probably over those years, not because I was in college and I had to go to my history class at 8 and my sociology class at 9 and all that shit. Although, you know, I was a disciplined person, so I did go to class in college. I know a lot of people who didn't go to class and got degrees. And I know people, honestly, who... You can't believe anyone could party this much and actually have an achievement stamped on them that would help them in life. I mean,
Virginia Tech, tremendous school.
Doesn't everybody know guys like that or girls like that that went to a college and you're like, oh, my God, they graduated? Are you fucking kidding me?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And I know some of the best-read people I know did not go to college, but they love to read.
Yeah, but I think that we're seeing, you know, a lot of these youngsters who are kind of finally seeing that because I do think that – compared to years in the past, and by years in the past, I just mean the last 20, I think that the need to go to college is slowly going down. We see guys like Jonah Stillman, who's coming out publicly and saying, I'm not going to college. I'm going to be just like
Doug Podell. He's making too much money.
Turn your head. Cough. The Doc of Rock has you by the balls.
These nuts.
If you're not listening to the Doc of Rock, you're soft. Get hard with WLZ.
For Detroiters, by Detroiters.
So, do you know Malcolm Gladwell is? Does anyone know who that nerd is?
I know the name.
So, he's got another book out, but he's written a couple books, and there's plenty of good criticism towards him. But in the one book, he's writing about the value of college, kind of what you're talking about, because he went to some Canadian university. And
he's got really weird hair.
He does have very – he's got a white afro. It looks ridiculous.
Oh, I know who he is. Now I know who he is.
I think he's been making the rounds too. But anyway, he starts talking about the cost of what he paid versus, you know, the Ivy Leagues. And I fully understand that and how his education was just as good as that, which I thoroughly agree with. The thing he left out, though, is depending on what you want to go into – the connections you make at that university is real. That's really what you're paying for.
Yeah, and you know, that's bullshit.
How many people in politics go to Ivy League? That's
when you're talking about systemic, honestly, I hate the word systemic, but the more I thought about it, I've done a lot of thinking the last few weeks. Not that I want to keep doing that kind of thinking all the time. So those of you who are bored of the show lately, just wait a week. Wait a couple weeks. Or wait till after the election. And I was trying to think of systemic things that really hold people back. And you know, a lot of people think it's so important to pull statues down. And yeah, money is power. And that's why I was thinking the GoFundMe. Gender. Instead of all these programs and Black Lives Matter, which gives money to candidates. And I'm sure they do some great things. I'm not trying to rip Black Lives Matter. And these anti-racist initiatives, one of which I looked up and I still have no idea what they do. All I know is that someone gave them $10 million. I have no idea what they – I read about two pages.
What's it called?
I don't remember. I'll find it.
That's great.
So I thought, well, if we're really trying to help black people and lift black people up, why not a GoFundMe? And I know it'll never happen. It's too practical because all these organizations want the money because they pay people. Some of them are probably white, by the way.
I say it sounds like you're, sounds like you're pro-reparation.
No, I thought, well, reparations has certainly been something's been discussed, but this would be a sort of a – instead of – the money's being spent. McDonald's is spending money. The record labels are spending $600 million.
Well, they all need write-offs.
No, I know, but look what they're spending on community programs and Black Lives Matter and anti-racial initiatives. And what if that went in someone's pocket and they felt like, hey, this is a chance to get ahead, to do some, pay my bills.
Not agree more.
So, but I knew it would never happen. So anyway, in the zone of thinking about something systemic, I couldn't stop thinking that, boy, it sure seems like college fucks a lot of people up. Because they either can't go, don't go, can't afford it, not really inclined, or it's too much money. I mean, people that have their parents pay for college, I mean, what a boost that is. I mean, talk about a break. And then you have people who go massively into debt like Brandon and have to fight that debt for years and years and years to even get on their feet. And my nephew Charlie has this outrageous college debt. He can't buy a home because he owes so much money for his he got a master's in finance from University of Illinois, which is supposed to be this super hotshot degree. And I remember when he was going, he was going to borrow all this money. I was like, oh, my God. It was like $110,000. Thinking, oh, is that possible? He's like, oh, it's
good. You know, I went to the Wharton School of Finance.
She really opened doors. But he's 35. He's still paying this off. Yeah. And he, I keep going, when are you going to buy a condo or something? Because he lives in Chicago. And he's like, oh, I got to get this thing paid down because it's like having, it's like I already have a mortgage. And so I can't borrow. But anyway, that was the only reason I got on that whole train about
college. Does he see the irony of getting a master's in finance and then having financial problems?
Oh, believe me. He's, I'm sure he's given a lot of thought, but it is a good degree. He has a very good job. I mean, it's worked for him, but it's just that.
Would he have that job if he didn't have the master's?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But
I mean, that's the thing people have to weigh.
But there's
still
a lot
of individual responsibility. Do I think the myth and the lie that everybody should go to college is wrong? Yeah, because not everybody, we've said this for a long time, not everyone should go to college. It's not good for a society. But who wants to be the one who tells that kid, you don't go to college, you don't go to college? I mean,
well,
I guess the drug lords.
Anyone can go to college, and I'm not, I would never suggest that someone who goes to college shouldn't, you know, feel good about it. I'm just saying this idea, which we have pushed for decades and decades now, especially in the '90s and the 2000s, and allowing people these loans. Anybody, you know, anybody borrow $100,000? Borrowing $100,000 when you're 18 is a huge fucking thing.
It's very similar to the myth of everyone needs to own a home. Everyone needs to own a home. Everyone needs to own a home. And you had these subprime mortgages for the early part of this century. And look what happened, because everybody bought into that loan and decided to get their home, their own home.
But the only difference
is, the next thing you know, you got that guy in the trading floor in Chicago yelling about a tea party. Now you have a whole new arm of a political party.
So,
the only difference is buying.
There's some personal responsibility there, too.
Yeah, there is. And people that borrow too much money. I mean, I don't really understand that. But I just felt that as if you're talking about things that block people, that block people from getting through a door, there's nothing like a college degree. And I just felt like, what the fuck did I learn in college? It was so special that someone, you know, of my age at the time should not have been able to apply for the jobs I applied for, or should not have had access to those jobs. And I know I'm taking this all way too seriously, and I'm sorry because
practicality. Who's a liberal now?
Well, no, I know it's a very liberal. I'm trying to be practical about
although,
it.
Although now that I'm thinking about it.
And I'm not knocking people with degrees. And I realize, by the way, no emails today about, you want a doctor that went to high school? No, I didn't say that.
I said that 10 minutes ago. I think I could do what I'm doing without my degree. However, it did give me the internship that led me on this path.
Yeah,
well,
me too.
That's a connection. That's a connection, though.
But would I have gotten it if I didn't go to college?
Well, no. Probably not. But I mean, is that fair? Shouldn't a high school kid be able to get an internship on the
Sure.
Mike show?
Sure.
I mean,
if that's the quality you want,
I have to tell you, some of the people who've walked in looking for internships. I'm always, usually, if it's up to me, I'm looking for that quirky person. I'm not really looking.
Sure. I'm
not
going, oh, it's got to be he's got to have 3 years in college. Wait, we have a UM person?
House.
Or a central? I'll take the UM person.
No, I never felt that way, because it doesn't matter. But anyway, wasted a lot of time there. Sorry.
Did you see the boobs on that new intern?
Well, there's that, too.
Did you read Kennedy's article?
Kennedy had a decent article about internships. It shows you the benefit of those internships. Way to go, Kennedy, because she went through and she did four different ones for various different.
I hope she said ours the best.
Yeah, she ranked them. We were on there.
Oh. Yeah, we were ranked
top,
third.
We made the top four? What?
Third.
I should be back in school.
All right, let me do this. Szott Ford, S-Z-O-T-T. And DealsInTheD.com is fired up because we're all moving forward in the COVID world, and they've got all the disinfecting and the distancing and the masking and all that business so they can run their business, and we can all do what we do if we just know what needs to be done to be safe. And if you're really concerned about it, maybe you're compromised, they'll deliver a car to you. You don't have to even go in there. They've been doing this, I believe, quite a bit. Jim Bentley's back. They've got the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, and they've got the 2020 Fusion as low as $115 a month. And the number one truck, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $125 a month. And let's not forget the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer as little as $198 a month. If you prefer to own a vehicle, how about 10 grand in rebates, 10,000 in rebates, and tons of inventory, tons of inventory. Get to dealsindeed.com and make your selection today. And then hopefully this is a selection you don't need to make. But if you do, if you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or kids. And during the pandemic, they're offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men on the front lines need to get divorced too. So call Adam at 248-356-2326. What do you have for the Hall Financial Hotline today? Brandon, did you find the numbers for the two people who cannot get their unemployment in Michigan?
I found multiple numbers for multiple people.
How about for Jessica was the, I think, the name that was less common.
I got a couple numbers for her. Yeah, we can give it a shot.
Do you want to call and see if she'll talk to us? Just try the two numbers and see if she's there and talk to us rather than...
Yeah, I got to shut my stuff down.
Go ahead. Yeah, the Michigan unemployment thing, we'll get into that story. What the fuck is going on? If this is the same $47 million system that fraudulently or called all those people out for fraud and was wrong 90% of the time and put those people through hell, if this is the same thing screwing people over, I want answers! I want answers! I mean, that's what a powerful exclamation that is. Yeah. But anyway, the two people, one of them says she gets up early to call 50 to 100 times a day.
Oh, my God.
And the best she gets is they hang up on her. They just go, pick up, hang up.
That's nice.
Yeah, really nice. And the other lady is in Grand Rapids. She had a retail job that she lost in March. And she's 57 years old. She has an iPhone, and she has a hard time getting it to come up on her phone. The website.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, honestly. So she's written letters, and she's called probably 1,000 times, and there she sits without her unemployment.
Yeah, you know things are bad when you write a letter to someone.
Oh, I know. She said letters, plural. She's 57 years old. So
I know. But
she might be a little more inclined to use snail mail.
Poor lady.
Yeah, I felt really sad for her. I mean, that's why.
Well, I feel like you have to barrage the agency, see whether you can get at it in one way or another, because they are just... The lady at TJ Maxx was telling me that the other day, that she's back on her job, and she's fighting for the retroactive unemployment now.
Yeah, and you can get that eventually, but it's a lot of work. And we'll get into that story, because honestly, I was just furious when I read today about how, hey, we're putting additional people on the phone so you can call and talk to someone because so many people have problems. It's like, gee, weren't we talking about
that, you had
that
idea.
6-8 weeks ago?
You had that idea like 3 days ago.
I mean, honest to God, it's – and Quicken Loans. Gee, did you think maybe they did need Quicken Loans? How could they have used it? Could they maybe have said, gee, well, what could you do for us? How could you make it easier?
I had that idea like 3 days ago.
But instead, of course, they go, no, we don't need any help. Are you kidding me? So it's worked like a dream.
Why can't the offices be open? That makes no sense either.
Oh, this is funny. Because of COVID is why they can't have the offices open. But
Winchester's been all over them on Channel 4.
To open up?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. People are really fucking pissed. In Kentucky, they opened the unemployment offices.
Uh-huh.
They had a line 10 hours long.
Oh, my God.
10 hours.
Oh, my God.
People stood in line from 9 to 5, I guess, and they had to come back the next day and stand in line for more hours.
Did they get to vote, too, when they went in? Sounds like a voting line.
Okay, is this true? Somebody tell me this is true, because there's so many things going on where, honestly, it seems like the most simple thing, and I go, I don't know if I believe this, and I find out that some people don't believe it. Here's why, and it makes me crazy. Were people voting in Louisville forced to go to one voting location? Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. There's an issue with
Louisville.
It.
Wait, Louisville, true. We're not talking about a tiny town like Holly or Lapeer or something. We're talking about Louisville. One of the top 50 size cities in America. How could they have one polling place and then go, oh, my God, look at lines?
And they didn't they try to shut it down, and they and had the to then go legally back and open it up?
Well, they filed an injunction. I thought the judge said no. No, it's not staying
Why
open.
Why would they ever
another,
have one?
Another county said, yeah, stay open.
Why was there one line? Does anyone know why? Or one place? Because that seems...
I'm looking.
I mean, honestly, this stuff just... COVID? You just go, what the fuck is... COVID? You'd think they'd have a zillion places to keep people apart and not in line, right?
It just sounds like voter intimidation, doesn't it? A bit?
I don't I don't know what it is. Is Kentucky's a blue state, right?
It's a little... So,
Or a red state. It's kind of in
purple.
Between.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so who does that...
Their governor is Democratic, but Mitch McConnell's from there, so...
Okay, but there's no reason in hell you would have one voting location caveat. In the city size of Louisville.
Caveat. They do have early voting there, so they've had early voting for 2 weeks.
But on voting day...
Brando's trying to get your attention, by the way.
I know. I see him. On voting day, a lot of people go to the polls.
I know.
So if you go to one place, then it's going to be far away for some people, really far away. It's going to be really close for others. It's going to be in between for others. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have another one out here, so it's not so far away. Another one here, so it's not so far away for these people. And, I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
Or you just do what four or five states do and just mail the fucking ballot to everybody so we don't have to deal with this shit.
Well, I still, regardless of what's a better way, having one polling place, I've
right
never
way.
Heard of that. Is that, did somebody decide, we got to, you know, it'd be more efficient if we had one polling place? Because then we can only have to have one group of people manning it. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, there's just, I can't imagine what the reason is.
New York also had a primary, and they had 40% fewer sites, too, just because of COVID.
You cram more people in one place, that's
here's
good.
Here's the other problem. You don't have enough people to work them.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
I give up.
Yeah, I don't know if like, them are all old.
Like I said, we'll move on. The show will move. I promise you, we're not going to be clogged for long.
If you guys are interested in talking with Jennifer, who was quoted in that story, she's the third number mark that I sent over. The first green one.
All right, let's talk to poor Jennifer. And there's some other very amusing things going on I want to get into too, but first,
my toilet broke down.
Your toilet broke down?
Yes.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Who was the last person to use it?
Me, actually.
Ooh.
Oh no.
She said she hadn't gone number two in 10 days, but today was D Day.
Trudy, you're
let's just say they had to throw her underwear out at the A&P.
Trudy, you're far too honest sometimes. I think most women reflexively would have said, Joe.
It was coming out of both ends. She's using the toilet and the tub. How about that?
I flushed an aquarium fish because it died.
Oh.
And
did you tweet about this? Did you tweet? Did you tweet this?
Yeah, I did tweet this.
Because I didn't understand the tweet. I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I'm like, well, what?
I know. I tried to tell a story. You know how people tell tweet stories where they have successive tweets, but that all mixed up.
I missed the first couple.
Yeah. The fish was kind of fat, and it got stuck, and it's been stuck for 3 days.
What?
Gross.
What? 3 days?
Some water will get past, but not solid matter. So
people are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once.
Some people, this is what some people are saying, I'm just saying some people, are saying that the toilet was previously clogged and the fish was used as a cover-up, and the person that did it knew the fish would clog it.
They killed the fish, yeah.
Sure seems fishy.
And they were hoping that somehow with time, whatever it is, would dissolve and the fish being in water would be okay.
See, the thing is, though, is Trudy's not allowed to flush around there. Here's actual audio of Zoob's.
Don't flush those toilets! I want you to leave those logs in there for me to inspect. Want to see them?
This is true.
Want to see what you've done.
All right, why don't we do this? Let's do the Boner Line, brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Get 20% off with free shipping from Manscaped. That's Manscaped.com, promo code Drew. You know all about the charging stand. You know about the power, the Lawnmower 3, the LED light. It's fabulous. You cannot beat Manscaped's 3.0, and the Boner Line is 209-66-BONA.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's something that's considered the perfect drop. But it may be the guy from the Donahue show followed by you need to leave, and then you about to lose your job. I think mixed together, that may be the perfect drop.
Maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys and got out of hand. I don't know.
You need to leave.
You about to lose your job.
I found it. Mark teased it, and then on the latest ML Soul Detroit at 105:13, Matt Jennings opens the door of his truck, honks the horn, and then unleashes a seat ripper.
Let's hear the horn. Anytime you're in your truck,
oh,
I want
yeah.
to hear it. I'm that.
Let's hear the horn.
Bump.
Ugh, that is awful. Disgusting smell.
I know Drew doesn't want to hear any more audio separated at birth, but this is an assumed audio separated at birth. Joe, the human anchor that rang on Drew's door three times, and Thomas A. Masley.
Yeah.
He'll ask for anything.
You butt up.
Hey, Drew, this is Joe. I was looking to hopefully see if you had a TV stand to go along with that TV, and maybe a Lazy Boy with cup holders and a small refrigerator. You know, I'll be by later today. I'm knocking your door. Thanks.
Hey, get out of here. Hey, get out of here.
I would gladly help you out and take those silver dome chairs off you. You don't want them. Just call me. Let me know. You know.
Hey, I said, get out of my house.
Hey, I just noticed you had a couple of stadium seats from Silverdome sitting on your back porch there. I was wondering if you wanted to get rid of them. If you do, man, I'd love to come pick them up.
It's not for sale.
Just wanted to call and compliment Drew on his multiple times describing how good Larry Flint looks recently.
Oh,
I was just Googling him, and yeah, Larry looks great.
Larry!
Wow.
No, Larry.
He's a beautiful man.
My new favorite part of the show is when Drew just kind of sucks off for a few minutes.
Okay, bye.
First couple times that happened, I thought, is something wrong? Is he okay? No, he just went to watch TMZ for a while. Take a dump in the middle of the show. Classic.
Your guys' beef with the turd fight guy and Monkey Mobile Mel kind of reminds me of the gang squashes their beef episode of Always Sunny.
You know what the real problem is? We got too many beefs all over town.
Yeah. We've
made a lot of enemies over the years.
We have made enemies.
He doesn't want to go bite turd.
We got to do something about this, guys. Okay, so I say we use Thanksgiving as an opportunity to squash some of those beefs.
We use that terminology for a lot of people. It sounds like it's a horrible insult, but actually your talent is quite extensive, and hey, it's all in fun and means nothing.
All right.
All right, that sounds great.
You know, I was just thinking, you guys had mentioned LaDuff, and I think since Charlie's always breaking some big shit news, he needs to go by Charlie Big Stuff LaDuff. What do you think?
That was the stupidest nickname I've ever heard.
You ever have diarrhea on the golf course when it's 85 degrees out? That just happened.
It's hard to golf when you have a full bowel.
Hey, guys. I heard your little commercial on the butchery. I love that place.
Did you say steak?
Man, they have everything. It's awesome. And a bunch of good people.
With a thick, meaty bacon.
I love this game we're all playing. It's almost like Where's Waldo, but where's Brandon's fart? 35-26. I heard it.
I think we have a wiener.
It was off of somebody's Twitter or something from hiding in the bushes.
I'm done with that fart. You want that?
Hey, the other day, Drew was looking for old drops. We've been watching some old Bachelor episodes, and it just struck me Well, as a matter of fact, I flew just this past week. Maybe you could dig that one up.
As a matter of fact, I flew this last weekend.
Hey, Drew keeps saying thin blue line. What does he mean by that? I don't think he's using it correctly.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Hey, Drew, you said you didn't want to get a Virginia Tech tattoo on your body because it seemed cheesy. To me, it seems a little hokey.
Tremendous school.
Good one.
I've got a couple of drops I'd love to hear again. Oh, that's classy and sexy. I like that.
Now that's being sexy. That's classy and sexy. I like that.
I hear you talking about Kevin, or the Adele guy out there with his Batmobile. Well, where I work, out by a big farm that he owns, and he one time rolled up on us while we were working to talk to us in a Lamborghini tractor.
I want that.
A Lamborghini
cool
farm tractor.
Oh, I got to get me one of those.
And that's it for today. And yes, I did research Lamborghini tractors, and they're bad.
Really?
Ass.
How much do they cost?
I didn't look at the cost. I would imagine they're probably $500,000, or, you know, if not more. Regular tractors are upwards to crazy amounts of money.
How big is it?
It's here. I'll pull
are
it up.
Are we talking
it's
like
not
a
exactly
farm tractor or like a cut my grass tractor?
Oh, no, this is a big tractor.
Does it look like a Lambo, or does it look like a tractor? Oh, it looks, check it out.
It looks pretty sweet. It's a big-ass tractor.
I want that. No.
Oh. It's for people
it
that
looks like an ATV.
That just can't figure out how to spend all the money they have. I mean, that's really all it is.
I would cut every lawn in Berkeley if I had that thing.
Kevin Adell has got to be one of the wealthiest people in Michigan. Does he show up on the, I mean, he's not a Forbes 400 wealthy guy. Oh, he's probably really pissed if he hears about that. But
you're going to get sued.
No, Kevin, I suspect because of that inspiration network. I mean, that's
the word network. Yeah.
It's the license to print money. And, you know, Channel 38 and all the things they do over there. But Kevin Adell, if you are listening, I won't be impressed by your expansive wealth until you go through a 9-year-old's toy collection, toy car collection, and buy him the life-size model and parade them in front of him.
Great.
Shortly after. Well, that was.
It looks like you can get one of these Lambos for just $150,000. That's probably like the basic, weakest tractor. I mean, trust me, it'll still be just fine. But and then as you start adding on to it, it can get very expensive.
Well, I have to say, I'm impressed with the Boner line because not just the when we ask for something, we definitely get it. I have to start thinking about more things to ask for because our audience really knows the answers. But the production's fantastic, Brandon. And in fact, my watch TMZ breaks would be shorter, but I usually don't want to take my headphones off and go upstairs till I hear the first couple. And then I go, a couple more, a couple more, a couple more. And then I end up hearing the whole thing. And then I go upstairs to watch TMZ. And there you go. But as far as the calls themselves, there was the Thin Blue Line. What I was unclear.
Oh yeah, why does he think you were using it wrong?
I don't know.
I think he wants to know what it is. What do you mean when you say the thin blue line?
That's not a new. I mean, did I make that up?
No, it's been around for a long time.
People know of like the Thin Red Line. It's a movie, but
it's about the loyalty that police have for each other and the fact that the Thin Blue Line. You know what? I think there's a famous documentary called The Thin Blue Line, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty established term.
It's pretty well known.
So I don't want to get too caught up in that. Okay, Jessica Cooper, it's Jessica Cooper, correct?
The judge?
The unemployed person?
It's Jennifer Bruins.
Way off. Isn't Jessica Cooper
She lives in Coopersville.
Who the hell is Eduardo Sanchez?
She lives in Coopersville, doesn't she? Please, just say she lives in Coopersville.
Just say you
were at the dinner! Could you just say you were at the dinner? I had a drink with you. I love that scene. God, I got to say, for all the attention De Niro gets because people hate him, they hate his guts because he hates Trump so much, he is such a great actor. Mm-hmm. And I swear, until I watched a couple movies recently, I kind of forget that he's that Robert De Niro anymore.
That's what a great actor is.
Yeah. Okay. I had a string of emails that I wanted to mention before we call quote-unquote Jessica Cooper / Jennifer Bruins. And they were all over the map. And honestly, I like getting email, and I usually respond. I try really hard to read the emails. And sometimes people respond back, and I'll even respond to that. I'm stalling for time while I look for my list here. Oh. And I ran into the fact that the Tiger season is going to open July 24th along the way.
Well, if you need time, just listen to this fine piece of acting.
I told all three of them to stay away from this candy for 24 hours.
I don't even eat
it. The guy counted. You hogged down 11 chocolate-covered cherries in yesterday afternoon. So that makes you a hog. I just want to establish that fact, and now I have. Hey, Mr. Hotshot Hog and I have just been establishing some facts, and what we've come up with is this. One, he's a pig who gobbles down everybody's candy. Two, he lies about it. Three, he lays around on his candy ass day and night reading and reading. And four, he's not getting any $10 gym shoes. That's about what we've come up with so far.
Oh, Dad, why don't you just lay off?
Don't give me that off, Dad. Now you shut your goddamn pie hole.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Why can't I find this?
Amazing.
Oh, shit. If you need more time, Trudy, the Iliad is the story of the Trojan horse. You know, the. Achilles and the Odyssey is the follow up. It's the sequel. Lamborghini tractors come in the standard of gray.
But, people are hiding in them.
Trudy, you really not
customized?
Were you forced to read the Iliad?
I was. I think I did cliff notes on that because I just didn't think it was fun.
Oh, yeah. Lucky you weren't Mr. Ham's class. There was no cliff note on that. He was very specific about, you know, and if you think you can read the cliff notes and get away with it, tomorrow's pop quiz will prove you wrong.
Bullshit. I don't believe him. That's a fear factor.
He read cliff notes. No, believe me. Trust me. You know Mr. Ham. Should I call Mr. Ham right now? You want to talk to him?
You two talk to him first, then I'll talk to him.
No, we had a Mr. Ham. But he was sick the year that I took literature. So the substitute gave you just a wide pass. You could get away with anything. Cool. So I don't know if that helped me, though. I don't think it did.
Are you still looking? Do you want to hear another fine piece of acting?
Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
So, one.
She's the one who can't see out of one eye.
Hot damn. You actually gave little Lord Gale a black eye? Huh?
Yeah, but it's not black yet.
But it's all puffed up. Well, then it's a shiner, right? Right? Mm-hmm. How'd it start?
Well, I called him a sissy.
Well, he sure as hell can't sue you for slander. The boy fights for the pink team. We all know that. Goddamn kid's queer, so... Did you make him cry?
Yeah, he was ready to. Uh-huh. See, I called him a big-ass squat-tippy sissy. Yeah, I don't want bigger, except he hit me when I wasn't looking.
He dry-gulched you? Now, wait a minute. That's your fault. You gotta keep your guard up. There's no excuse for getting dry-gulched. You got me? No excuse for getting dry gulched. I'm going to show you a couple of moves after supper that'll leave Miss Arthur Gale wondering what month it is. Okay?
Is everyone... I wonder how many people in our audience hear those drops and have never seen that movie, because that movie is... really good. It's really high on the De Niro list, and yet... And DiCaprio's in it as a kid, and I don't think it's that well known. Is it?
Probably not.
I've never seen it. I know we've been talking about it for years.
Oh, Trudy, I think you would really like
it. You can get a doggy style, you can get a ling on your side. Those are your only choices.
That's a really good part. Does the drop or the scene exist where De Niro is yelling at the judge?
Oh, from
the one I was talking about?
No, I mean, we don't have
it. If you see it anywhere, if anybody sees it, you want to send it to people, send us stuff too, which is great. Okay, emails. I got a lot of email. It's all over the place, too. This was from James about Bubba Wallace, and he said Guy Gordon was going ape shit on Monday, yelling at everyone who called in who were saying, wait and see, it could be a Jesse Smollett thing. The reason I'm laughing is because I sort of felt the same way. I mean, I thought it wasn't like I wanted to go, everybody said wait, it could be just, but in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, I mean, is it some clown? Not, is it Bubba Wallace? I never thought that, but I mean, just, it was really hard for me to want to invest a lot of my life in one weird thing like that. And if you look at the time that was spent, it is kind of incredible now, and there's still stuff to talk about. But anyway, Guy Gordon's yelling at everybody, and he got very angry when it suggested it could be a Jesse Smollett thing. And that somebody, I guess, was suggesting he stood to gain millions from sponsors who would run to him.
It's pronounced Gordon.
Or that NASCAR could have done it for the ratings to show how woke they are. He refused to even entertain scenarios and called Alabamans racists and rednecks. It was funny. He's turning into Mitch Albom Jr. He used to think he was a fairly level-headed reporter, but he is more and more ridiculous. He goes apeshit anytime he even slightly questions or criticizes Gretchen. I think he wants to help her stretch her out somewhere. I don't know about that, but interesting. Yeah, that's one of those stories that talk radio, it's such a gift because you can go apeshit for a whole day and then, it really was nothing. But people still heard what they heard and they were engaged and he was engaged. And actually that, in the end, after reading the email, I was like, wait, we have a guy that listens to us and listens to Guy Gordon in the afternoon on JR? James, do you listen to Guy Gordon and get mad?
It's pronounced Gordon.
He's never been the same ever since Charles Bothell hugged him.
Somebody sent me a picture of that the other day.
It's so great.
That was...
Tell me I was at least at the dinner. Allow me that much.
Thank you.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Does
the
it get
whole,
worse?
The whole scene is great,
give me
though.
That much at least.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, thanks for not calling me a liar, son of a bitch.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Paige Novador. What should have...
That's another character that I did a deep dive on, and wow, was it worth it. I mean, Carlos later, I couldn't stop reading about Carlos last night, this $2 billion drug lord. And what's De Niro's character's name? Rosenthal? He's a guy that was a great football odds maker, and De Niro portrays him in Casino, and he's running the casino out in Vegas, and he's a very anal manager, and he's part of the mob, and he makes things work.
It's been so long since I've seen that, man.
But
well, Sam Rothstein was the name of the character.
Sam Rothstein. Sam Rothstein. There's a scene as he starts getting more and more crapped on where all of a sudden he's not allowed to run, quote-unquote, the casino, but he decides he wants to do a TV show, which aired in Vegas, a Sam Rothstein show where he'd have a guest and they had dancing girls who were super hot. And so, you know, I go online, I find, hey, the Sam Rothstein show. Let me watch the Sam Rothstein show. And he has huge guests.
Because I think it was inspired by Frank Rosenthal, Lefty Rosenthal.
The Frank Rosenthal show?
Okay.
When he had OJ.
Yeah, that would be, if Frank Rosenthal is the real name, can't they just use people's real names? It's so hard to deep dive.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Tangiers Hotel proudly presents the all-new Sam Rothstein Show, Aces High. Tonight, taped live from the all-new sportsbook, we present the premiere showing of Aces High.
Look how progressive
High.
They were about the announcer.
And Sasha yeah. Semenov Orchestra.
It's pretty hot.
Yeah, the Sam Rossi dancers are hot.
There's male dancers, too.
Finally, something good on TV.
A man who will take you inside the real Las Vegas as no one
has
ever
done before. I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the new entertainment director of the Tangiers Hotel
okay,
Casino, Mr.
Sam. I think that's probably enough of that.
This is the coolest show in the history of television.
I had an
email. Great announcer.
About irresponsible speculation regarding the Ford move with the Lions. And I knew it had, there's got to be something financial here. And I got a few emails about this, most suggesting that there would be huge capital gains if Martha dies and then the Lions are transferred. So they saved probably a couple hundred million dollars. And then I guess there's a Forbes story that somebody's quoting where they said between Ford stock, the Lions, and the estate taxes they would have to pay if indeed she was left in control, Ford would have had to sell something.
Oh wow!
They would have had to part with something, and
so
then
does that reset now? Does the cost basis reset
I think
for the daughter?
I don't know about the cost basis. That's a good question. I mean, I don't really want to. Whatever. I just was trying to point out why they may have done that. And then Holly.
Oh, I thought it was so they could go to the Super Bowl.
No. They're not doing that. Holly sent a link to Ted Patchell with phone numbers for Ted Patchell, and I don't know if those.
Where's that at?
We
email?
Know. I sent it to Brandon.
Oh.
In fact, Brandon said, what's this Ted's? Were you around when Ted Patchell? Did you ever listen to Ted Patchell, Brandon?
Well, you sent me a text and it just said numbers for Ted. And I didn't know what you were talking about. I didn't know if you were talking about,
Nugent.
Weren't yeah, the, I didn't know what say was going Ted on. Patchell at the top, though?
No, you sent it via text. So I didn't get the numbers.
Well, the numbers we have for
sorry, he's so
you
didn't
get the numbers? Wait a second.
The numbers we have for him, they just ring and he's screening.
Look what happened. not delivered because of my Wi-Fi. I'm like, what is Brandon stupid or something? And Brandon's going, is he stupid or something? Who's Ted?
That's funny. These are all numbers that I've called.
Okay.
The top one might be it, but it just goes to an answering machine.
Holly was all excited
too
because
I know where you got those numbers, Holly.
Yeah, she dug, didn't she? Wow. And Holly was excited too because she had a link to Ted on Millionaire. She'd never seen him before.
Oh,
so she was
God,
all pumped
he's
up.
The best.
And then
now I remember I was telling Brandon. I remember.
I think I got the help I needed. So I think I would like to say D Blue Moon.
I remember when we originally found his number. It wasn't under his name. It was under Thomas Patchell because his partner was right. Thomas.
And then I had a number of emails that want us to play Time for Tubby Bye Bye when we go off Facebook, which would be nice actually. The whole business of being on camera just drives me fucking insane. I swear to God, I hate it. I hate it anyway, but then I hate it when I don't know if I'm on or if I'm off, and I don't really want to pick my butt. But I'm just saying, I mean, it's just the worst feeling in the world to not know if you're being watched by a lot of people.
And I'll say it right to the camera, stop it.
And and so it drives me fucking crazy, and around like 40 minutes in, I start getting this anxiety, like, am I on, am I off, am I on, am I off? So I love that idea. And it'd be nice if we had it.
Come on, guys. Watch the cameras.
Come on.
Jesus. At least he knows he's on camera. It may be one where I just yell, almost time for Tubby bye-bye, like the 10-minute warning or something.
Okay.
So just so we kind of know where we are. Laura loves the drops. To want to tell you that, turn off the television, y'all, and put your shirt on. You look like roast chicken.
Oh, I love that one.
There were...
I don't think I have that one.
That's from...
Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Robbie's mom... Oh, boy, this is a long story. Well, not that long, but it was a little intense. His mom... I don't want to quote him properly. His mom lives in Seattle. And so he was... I'll just have to paraphrase because our fucking internet sucks. He said his mom... did not agree with Sanjaya's dad or our listener about CHOP at all, and that the mayor is scared to tell the protesters to do anything. And I don't know. That sounds fairly accurate. Is anything going on with CHOP today?
I'll look.
I haven't heard much.
And then I also had an email about...
the organizers have announced that the CHOP project is now concluded.
Oh, really?
That's what one organizer says, but protesters disagree.
Oh, no.
You know, who knows?
So are people, people
so now
are still
the leadership's
in,
done.
People are still in CHOP, in other words.
Oh, I'm still sure, there. Yeah.
And then there was also...
That's according to the official CHOP Twitter.
Someone sent me... a few people sent me this, and I saw it anyway. The story about 30 Rock, which yesterday seemed sort of like a nothing story because the Jimmy Kimmel apology for blackface was so weird, it just sort of took all my blackface attention there. But 30 Rock, boy, they picked a good time to do that, didn't they? They said, we have blackface in about 5 or 6 episodes, and we're pulling them all. And it was so sort of like, they didn't say, sorry, and oh my God. You know, there weren't any big lectures or anything. And so, I don't know, is that why it wasn't, because it was a nothing story, was it?
Tina Fey did apologize.
She did apologize?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did anybody get worked up about it, though? Did anybody say...
No, I think she beat everybody to the punch.
Yeah. Well, people don't care where the punch is if they want to, you know, cause a fuss. And I bet you
the goal is to get rid of it and wipe it clean. I mean, she's already removing it.
No, I thought it was a good move.
She took the kerosene away from the fire.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can always move the kerosene from the fire. I mean, if they find tape of Trump saying the N-word on The Apprentice, are people going to go, oh, well, we've already been down that road? Or if he said, yeah, I might have said it on the Apprentice, and he said it today, and tomorrow we hear the tape, that's not going to make it any better.
That's Trump.
Well, exactly, but it's the same word.
It's president.
Or if Trump was in blackface, okay, leave Trump out of it. You want me to find somebody else on the right that I'm going to put in his place?
Oh, well, sure.
James Woods.
So
James was in blackface in 2005. People, if he said, down. I might have worn blackface and they find out tomorrow, they're still going to give him shit. Tina Fey, however, is, and I like Tina Fey, so I don't want, I'm not trying to drag Tina Fey through hell, but someone was, Megyn Kelly, who said something about, what network was that removed the blackface episodes? Because Megyn Kelly,
this is Kelly,
for talking about blackface, was put through hell and also laid into pretty hard by some pretty big people at NBC and lost her job. And then Tina Fey does it and, you know, whatever. But it's blackface. It's blackface. Megyn Kelly's talking about blackface, but having it was a different thing with Tina Fey. So I don't think she beat the punch. I don't think anybody's going to punch her out. I don't think it could have.
First of all, Megyn Kelly, what a catty bitch for bringing that up against Tina. And,
well, she lost her job, though.
She lost her job. She's not, how much money is she sitting on?
She got $70 million for losing that. Yeah.
She's not pounding on Tina Fey. She's picking on NBC.
Right.
I don't think she's saying anything about Tina Fey.
Right.
I thought Megyn Kelly.
There are some people giving her shit, too.
I'm sure they are. But I got to tell you something.
Not the level that, yeah.
I was blown away, absolutely blown away that she said nothing. Well, maybe she did. I didn't think she said anything about Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon. Because every time those come up, I'm going, boy, I would think Megyn Kelly would make some smart-ass comment or something. But apparently, well, the SNL's on NBC.
Mm-hmm. And Fallon. So,
yeah, I don't know why she passed on that. but she apparently Tina Fey pushed her over the edge. And it was just a smart-ass tweet. It wasn't like a big deal. She said, what network was that again? Or something to that effect. And so now why are people ragging on Megyn Kelly?
I didn't know people were ragging on Megyn.
Oh, I thought you said people are giving her shit back.
No, Tina Fey.
Oh, okay. What, you mean Don Trump Jr.?
No, there was some reporter and poet guy who was like, oh, she didn't know it was bad in 2010. And
well, that's the whole thing. It's like, what, Tina Fey didn't know it was bad in 2010, and what's his name? Ralph Northam should have known in 1980. I mean, we spent how much time was... Can you imagine living in Virginia during that when they had the governor and the third person to be governor, both having blackface in 1980 and 1981, and the guy in the middle had sexual assault being thrown at him, which I don't think that ever went anywhere. And
none of the three did.
So, and then Tina Fey says, I remember the episodes, and there we go. And I don't think blackface is any better or any worse because Ralph Northam is a politician and she's an entertainer. I would think they both would know what blackface is.
Yeah.
Can you just say you had dinner with me?
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Well, I mean, I think there's a difference when it's a public when it's a public employee who is elected versus
Jimmy Fallon's not a public employee.
I know.
No, but Ralph Northam
Megyn
is.
Megyn Kelly's not a public employee.
No, I know, but Ralph Northam is worse because he is.
Well, why would he know how bad blackface is in 1980 versus Tina Fey in 2010? Wouldn't Tina Fey know better in 2010? I mean, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
Well, it also depends on how it's used, but people don't care. People don't care about context anymore.
This is me talking to you and you and you. And okay. I'm saying, isn't Ralph Northam in 1980 different than Tina Fey in 2010? And I don't want either one of them to lose their job. I'm not mad at Tina Fey. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to point out how dumb it is to put Ralph Northam through the and he was a great moonwalker too. Was why was Ralph Northam put through this incredible ringer and Tina Fey in 2010 when she's 40 years old? Meh, whatever.
I think he was put through the ringer because he's the governor of a state.
Yeah.
Why was Megyn Kelly put through the ringer?
Because her rating sucked.
She didn't wear black.
Yeah, her show was terrible.
That's ratings sucked. But there was a big moral thing.
Yeah.
Well, because the thing that you want us to say,
I don't want to say anything. I mean, say something, but not anything.
She's a conservative.
Just say you had a dinner with me, Jesus. She's a conservative.
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly.
That's it exactly.
So
then, why do they hire her to begin with?
Megyn Kelly?
Yeah.
Because she was, at that time, a lot of people were trying to hire her. I mean, honestly, I think Megyn Kelly's shows are pretty good. I mean, as much as I don't like Megyn Kelly when she's out of her show.
I thought her primetime show was good.
I thought
daytime show was a fucking disaster.
The daytime show, they tried to sell her as this lovable wife. She's anything but that. But as a journalist, I think she's very good. In fact, she was having... she upset people not just because they didn't like her from a political standpoint or maybe her personality too. They also didn't like the fact that she was having people on as guests surrounding the Matt Lauer thing right after the Today Show had broken it. So I thought she had balls. I mean, honestly, I didn't think she was bad.
No,
but
I like her.
But to suggest that...
Kind of sorry she's so sour grapes about this.
Honestly, I don't think she is. Is she really? I mean, one tweet? I mean, to get fired for that, I would have thought she would have. She was forced to basically go, oh, my God, this is so terrible. I'm so sorry. And she never wore blackface. And then Jimmy Fallon put himself through a ringer. Jimmy Kimmel apologized. Sorry, not sorry. In fact, Trudy, did you see Jimmy Fallon's apology?
Fallon or Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel. I'm sorry. Jimmy Fallon was absolutely entirely contrite.
I saw Kimmel's apology.
Did you think it was weird?
I sort of got where he was coming from, and his personality for so many years, man show and all those things, is such that he's not going to be Jimmy Fallon, contrite, lovable, you know, sweet guy. He's going to push back a little bit. So that's how I kind of saw him.
I just thought he would say that he was sorry and not, I mean, I think when you say, I'm sorry, but this is because of these people. I didn't want to apologize because these people want me to apologize. Isn't that like Trump saying, I don't want to wear a mask because it would get the media off?
I found that was a direct corollary to that. It did make me feel like that. But the other thing was is that he felt like they were weaponizing something from his past, and he didn't want to give that fuel. And that's just exactly the argument that you're making.
Exactly. No, and I don't want Jimmy Kimmel fired. I'm just
me neither.
The reaction to these things is beyond insane. And the fact that people would just retweet like maniacs when one person wears blackface in 1980, but when one person wears it multiple times and says the N-word on a recording and all these things they've unearthed about Jimmy Kimmel, then there's no retweets. There's no. And then I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe you. I don't believe this bothers you that much. And I'm not talking about necessarily people who would be inclined to be bothered. I'm talking about the Hollywood people and the influencers who wildly tweet away. When it's one person, but not another.
Sorry.
But this topic is so fucking old. I apologize.
Sorry.
That's the only apology I accept.
We would be so much happier without Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Isn't that pathetic?
We just have Instagram, which people don't really like.
24-hour cable
handle.
News.
Right.
Well, Jessica had a terrible time with unemployment, and she's a person who was Jessica.
Jennifer, wasn't it?
It's Jennifer Bruins.
Yeah, from
Coopersville. Yes,
in Jessica Township.
Okay, some lady was very bummed out because she has been fighting and calling. And finally, today, there was a little bit of response to this, which I thought was just pathetic because it's so late that, hey, we're adding all these people on the phones and we're going to really try and work on this. And they...
Way too late.
They also said that when we get done with this fraud thing's really clogged things up, so we're kind of busy with that. Well, it doesn't do her a lot of good. And she's I think she's an X-ray tech.
Yeah.
Jennifer.
Did you just whip this up for me?
Jennifer. Please leave your message.
She's not answering. Went right to voicemail.
That's the third number?
Yeah, the first green one.
I just talked to her, damn it.
Let me try it again.
Jennifer. J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, Jennifer.
I had a preposterous thought the other day about him. I want him to do a musical.
Ooh. Like, he's done a whole
magic. Jenny. Jenny.
Can we call her Jenny?
Hello?
Is this Jennifer?
This is.
Can we call you Jenny?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, crank it.
J-E-N-N-Y. Jenny.
Our Jennifer song ran out and then Jenny started playing.
Okay.
Yeah, we heard that you appreciated having a song about you before you would really discuss this.
Yeah.
Trying to add a little levity.
I like the way you went along with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm reading about unemployment today. We've been banging this drum. Oh, it's the Drew and Mike Show, by the way, if you didn't know. Are you in our listening range? I mean, when we were on radio at WRIF?
I think so. I'm in Coopersville, Michigan.
I don't know where Coopersville is.
Kind of by Grand Rapids.
Okay, so you might be not quite in range. But anyway, yeah, so here we are. And we've been talking about the unemployment thing because I kept hearing from people via the show who would say, I've been calling 100 times a day. I call nonstop all day. And, you know, I've applied and I don't hear back, or, you know, I thought I did all the right things. And I just thought, wow, it just seems like nobody cares about this, or they're so busy with something else. And tell us what happened to you. I mean, how your job, I think you got furloughed, correct?
Correct, yep.
Okay, so when did you enter this nightmare?
April 22nd.
Uh-huh.
So 2 months.
And what did you do? Just take us through the process.
So I filed for unemployment, and my error was when they asked if I am entitled to, I forget how it's worded, something about retirement benefits. I've been with my employer for 20 years, so I will receive a pension when I retire. So I answered the question as yes, and that flagged my account.
Ooh. Okay, so how...
Because you will receive one, or was the question, are you currently receiving one?
It wasn't worded that way. It was just, do you receive retirement benefits?
Yeah.
And yes, I will receive them.
I know.
In 30 years when I retire.
Jennifer, it's funny, because I had a file and when the other radio station let us go, and there were a lot of tricky questions like that about... You know, now in 2 weeks from now, and then a month from now, it is very, very confusing.
Yes, it is.
No, I have a terrible time with all these forms, and I always feel like, God, that's just written for a third grader. Am I this stupid that I can't get this damn, because I'll always blow it. So then, did you know right away you had made a mistake, or how long did it take you to find out you made a mistake?
It was a couple of days, and then I received a letter in the mail. So I sent them a message. Never heard anything back.
that sounds
about
right.
Another message. You know, I tried calling multiple times and messages and tried the live chat, and that didn't work. And,
when you're saying you sent a message, you mean to the website or whatever?
Yeah, on the website, on your account, you can send the unemployment a message.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went through it that way. It's kind of, I'm assuming, like an email to them.
And nothing. And how long is nothing going on before you take whatever the next step is?
Then I mailed, so I received the letter, so then I also mailed copies to the agency, and still hadn't heard anything back. So finally, I think about 3 weeks went by, and I reached out to my state representative, and then they said that they would try and push my name through and said that I should hear from them within 5 to 10 days.
Okay, well, approximately when was this, when you were expecting to be 5 to 10 days? Is this like early May?
Yeah, yep.
And then in 5 to 10 days?
Heard nothing. Replied back to them because they said if I didn't hear from unemployment to let them know. So they kind of tried to push my name through again, but really said that there wasn't much that they could do either. And that finally, after probably a couple months, a month, then Luke Meerman reached out to me and asked if they were running a story on the Detroit News if he could use my name.
Wow.
That's today or yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, Jennifer, at the same time, I'm sure you weren't the only one furloughed or laid off that you knew where you worked. Were those people having similar troubles, or did they have no problem?
They didn't have many problems.
Well, they didn't make that. Terrible mistake you made.
Terrible mistake, yeah.
Well, what even more frustrating.
Now, how badly, because myself, I would be beating myself up on a daily basis going, you idiot!
I know.
I mean, how badly have you beaten yourself up over that little tiny boo-boo you made?
A lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you shouldn't have to, because you did the right thing. I mean, contacting your rep, I would never do that.
No,
but that's
God.
A smart thing to do. That's when I think they would have you believe that they really serve people. And you mean to tell me that your representative cannot simply give your name to someone and make magic happen and have them either, you know, change this retirement status. That's an impossibility.
Yeah.
Now in the story, it says you're calling 50 to 100 times a day. You get hung up every time. What do you mean you get hung up upon? Is it, does it time out because no one answers, or does someone actually pick up?
So you go through the phone tree and you memorize what numbers you have to hit for, you know, for what you need.
That's so frustrating.
And then as soon as you hit your last number, it goes through this little spiel about if you want them to text you a link for information. And then all of a sudden, all of our agents are busy. Please try your call again later. And it ends the phone call.
And then the hang up.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to somebody who was going through this problem, and they said the worst thing about it to them was that they're constantly besieged with other people going, yeah, I'm getting this extra $600. It's great, man. $600 a week, actually, right?
Yeah, yeah, bonus a week. From the feds,
yeah, it's great. I'm actually getting ahead, and it's so wonderful. And it seems like so many people, are doing very well with this. But then you find out there's still, I think the story said 137,000 people that have not been paid. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And what? And today, did you read the story today?
I read it. Actually, I think I saw it like last night or something. Yeah.
online.
And I'll just read what I thought would be important to you, probably, is that they've added 850 people in the last few weeks, so they're going to have more staff answering the phones, and, mm-hmm. and it will dramatically improve. In fact, yep. they said, the guy, whoever it was, said, I'm committed to quickly, dramatically improving access to people on phones.
Bullshit.
And at the very beginning of this, probably before April 22nd, we were getting just bombarded with people saying, oh, my God, I cannot get this thing to work, the unemployment. And these are people who are tech savvy and people who are doing all the right things. And they were just losing their minds. And mm-hmm. all I kept saying was, can't they hire 500 people to answer the flipping phone? But no, yeah. they couldn't until yeah. now. They just figured this out. And then also Quicken Loans, hearing how much trouble they were having, offered their technical help. And they said, oh, no, we got this.
Yep, I did hear that.
So, I mean,
after the story came out, the first story, which was it a few days ago? Have you heard anything? Did anybody just get on the ball then and call you back?
Actually, yeah. Michigan Unemployment yeah. called me back yesterday afternoon.
Power then, of the fake news.
Yeah.
I yeah. know. Until they're, in and other then, words, until they're a little bit humiliated publicly.
Exactly. So what did they say when right. they called you?
I didn't.
Did you hang up on them?
No. He left a message just saying that I should be paid within 2 to 5
days. Oh, interesting.
Days.
Interesting how that works,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Okay. And when? Then today, actually, I also had a call out to Michigan Works because they're also helping with the unemployment. And he called me back today and confirmed that it was payment was issued. So
now they won't leave you alone.
I know.
Yeah, the irony.
Wow. But you don't have the check yet, correct?
It is pending in my account.
Oh, okay.
I have a direct
oh,
wow. deposit. So.
Okay. Well, you know, I would like to go back to that rep, but, you know, you don't have time to waste like this and go, you know, what seemed to be the problem? Why, if your rep can't make something happen, I have to wonder, what are these 137,000 people, I mean, what are they to do?
Yeah.
Apparently the Detroit News needs to list every single person by name. Yep. And tell their story to get something done, which is a shame.
Well, you know, that really obnoxious post, maybe, on, I don't know, get somebody who's got a big, get an influencer.
Well, yeah. Well, we've seen it with us. When we've had no luck getting something done, we tweeted a really shitty tweet and tagged them in it. Next thing you know, people take care of stuff.
And you get mm-hmm. blocked.
But not everybody has that luxury.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now how much has this hamstrung you as far as paying your bills?
We've had to dip. My husband's been working, so we've just had to dip into savings a little bit, but now that'll just go right back into our savings. So
okay.
So it hasn't been too bad.
No biggie.
But it's anxiety, though. It makes yeah. you, it keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, did you read about Monica Jones, who was also quoted in the story?
No, I didn't.
She is not in the position you're in. She's 57. She's not having an easy time paying her bills. She doesn't have a computer. Her iPhone has trouble getting through the website or to the website. Mm-hmm. And she lost her retail job at the end of March. And so she really, really needs her check. And she said she's written letters, plural, actual like snail mail letters mm-hmm. and done everything in her power. She calls all the time. Nobody, of course, she can't ever get a human on the phone. And, you know, this is a person who is not just able to dip into savings and, you know, take care of things. So, I mean, there's so many people who are really getting screwed by this. And mm-hmm. this is the same system that identified all these fraudulent people about 4 or 5 years ago and charged them 4 times the amount of the fraud that they said they committed with unemployment and then found out 90% of the claims were false.
Oh.
So I was wondering if this is the same computer system they paid $47 million for that, you know, oh, is screwing people up currently. I mean, it's an endless nightmare.
It's gotta be.
It is.
Now, are you back at work, or do you expect to get your job back?
I expect to get my job back. I just haven't heard back from work as to when. I work in hospital, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Well, are you scared? Are you scared to go back and work in a hospital?
No.
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 Good. And as far as hospitals, you know, that's another place where I'm getting a lot of hearing from people lately who are, you know, losing their jobs at hospitals or being laid off.
They've lost a lot of money because of those elective surgeries.
Yeah. Tough gig. Well, Jessica, or Jennifer, I'm so glad I kept calling you Jessica.
That's why we had the song, so you remember.
Yeah, so I can remember. We should have played through the whole phone call. In fact, why don't you crank it up?
Jennifer.
Congratulations on this fabulous achievement. It's probably got to be in the top 20 of your life to actually get through this morass.
Yep.
And thanks so much for your time, too. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank
okay.
you, Jennifer.
All right.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Bye.
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Bye-bye.
Jennifer.
Bye.
Jennifer, 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 Jennifer. Monica Jones. Meanwhile, Monica Jones in Grand Rapids. Jennifer? This poor lady.
Jennifer.
You know, 57 years old, and she's working a retail job, and she gets bumped out of that, and so...
Somebody by the name of Monica
Jones.
Monica.
What a bitch, man. And, of course, anyone named Jones we're not going to find on the phone, are we?
Nah, that's pretty hard.
Monica.
Okay, and our patch alone...
Not her phone, and her phone doesn't seem to work, so no.
Yeah.
Well, not for the website, it doesn't. Anybody
see how huge it is if you have resources to get stuff done?
Well,
you know, but it almost seems intentional that they're cutting people off, that they're, you know, they're blowing them off, the timing them out of the website. It almost seems like they're doing it on purpose for some reason.
Jennifer ultimately got paid because she contacted her representative. That's why.
Who failed?
But then gave her name to the fake news who got, you know, who shamed the state.
But that's two people that made it into that story.
I know.
Out of 137,000. And by the way, it's been, okay, when did we really start into this?
I bet you most
the
people just give up.
March 24th is when we started staying at home. So we're talking April, May, June, 3 months. And it takes this long to go, oh my God, we might need to get some more people on the phones. I mean, nobody ever wants to, they never want to put a human on the phone. They never want to provide that. They just never do. Nobody does.
You might want to open up, buy some plexiglass and open up one of the unemployment offices, too.
It just seems like with a pandemic and unemployment that could go as high as 25%.
They don't care.
I know. They don't care. I mean,
they care, but they don't care enough to fix it.
They don't. And these poor people are really what they're being screwed by is fraud. They're being punished because there's so many fraudulent claims, so many people trying to fuck the system, beat the system, scam the system, and they are. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are doing it. In fact, I wonder if we'll ever know how many people, because I know two people who have ratted out other people. One, it's her friend's son, and she's like, you know, she wants to turn the guy in, but it's a good friend, so she can't. But she was particularly pissed because he used five Social Security numbers? Is that how they're doing it?
Really? Yeah, well, and other things, but yeah.
Well, and not only that, he's doing it in different states.
Yeah.
Well, so he's he's bragging about the fact that, and I don't remember the number, it was 15,000 or 50,000. It was a lot of money.
Well, to that point, this isn't fraud, but a lot of inmates have gotten their virus relief checks, people that are in prison. The IRS acknowledges. The IRS went.
Of Monica?
They went, oops! Well, the relief checks, not unemployment. So the IRS went, oops, can we have that back? And you know what?
What?
They can't have it back. They have no legal right to get it back either.
Fuck no. They burned it all on heroin and all those great drugs.
Well, they're in fucking jail.
but you can spend money out the ass in jail.
File a tax return to get the money.
But the IRS can't take it back? Is that what you're saying, Mark?
That's what I read, yeah. The IRS wants it back, and they have no legal way to get it back.
If they direct deposit it into your bank account, they can yank it out really fast.
They can. But
VA did that when my mom died.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I know someone else that's happened too. Yeah. But you know what they can do? If they mailed you a check and you put it in some account they don't know about, they're not getting it back.
Yeah.
I swear, everything feels so completely upside down to me lately. It just
Kansas Department of Corrections intercepted $200,000 in checks. Idaho and Montana had a combined over 90,000. Washington State intercepted 23,000. So some of them are getting caught, but a lot of them are not, which is just, I mean, that's good old government, right?
Yeah, I can't believe how bad government is at its job, man.
Yeah, I guess the most important thing.
It's about to lose its job.
The most important thing right now is.
The dinner is served.
And he is just shoving it into his mouth. Look at him wiping. He's laughing because he's wiping his mouth. Look like a burrito of some sort.
Yeah, it's got to be a burrito.
Or a fajita, maybe.
Did the hand deliver it, or did
we? Yeah, the hand. Yeah, thing. Thing just stuck that plate into this window.
Why is
delicious chicken tacos? Yeah.
Chicken tacos.
Is Kristen?
Oh man, this is going to make a primo dump later on.
Is Kristen camera shy? Because Kristen takes incredibly cute pictures. She really does. I mean, she's very, very photogenic.
I just think she doesn't want to interrupt or mess up anything and be loud.
Is it too delicate a situation for you to ask her, to say, you know, people are kind of wondering what that hand is, so could you pop in and...
Well, then it's also like Madeline's upstairs. Issue. So she has to run the food down and then run back up so Madeline doesn't get into anything crazy.
So she only has time to put her hand, and if she was to move behind you and wave, then that would mess everything up?
I'll have her wave to you guys next time.
Well, you know, the best part about those, it looks like it'll be easy cleaning up for after the show when you go up there to do the dishes. Tacos?
That's true.
Pretty easy.
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Did anybody read about Live Nation talking about they're asking performers to take a pay cut when they do eventually perform?
Why? Why would they?
Because they've lost their ass.
Yeah, but why would they? Why would the...
To be part of the ass-losing family.
But I think they get paid by what the market will bear. Sorry, not sorry. Well, now Live Nation can just lock them out of their venues.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And not have them, but then they lose money altogether.
Sorry, not sorry.
Well, as badass as it sounds to just suddenly announce that, without any negotiation, that you're going to be paid this much less. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure why they're announcing it. Maybe they wanted to let people know this before they actually book the gig and tell them and sort of just float it out there so it's not something new.
Are they going to pass any of the savings on to the ticket owners?
Oh, of course. What? No, absolutely.
They will? Cool. For sure. Along those lines, I was shocked when I read it that Entercom is restoring employee salaries. Remember how they asked everybody to take a pay cut?
Oh, like 97.1, you mean?
Yeah.
So Stoney's getting his 10% back? Was it 10%?
I think it was, yeah. They're going to restore him. I'm shocked. I was just surprised.
Did Mike Valeni take a pay cut? Did we ever find out?
I think they all did.
Did they
now,
really?
Now, that doesn't help the people that didn't get re-signed or maybe got blown out.
I have to point something out here. I'll try to be as delicate as I was about Kristen actually, you know, being more than a hand.
Right. What a lie. Lie of a setup.
Brand is not smiling.
He's busy eating.
No. His teeth.
He is pretty busy eating.
No, I'm researching.
Hold up the plate. How much is gone?
If I had to put a percentage change, I'd say about 38% of it.
Okay. All right, that's not too bad.
I like the way you just throw percentages at things. Now, what was I going to be as delicate as I was about that topic?
Kristen's hand, I think. Oh, before that, Entercom?
Oh, Entercom, yeah. Here's how I need to be delicate. When Bubba... oh, boy. I shouldn't say this.
Just say
when
it.
When Bubba Wallace, the noose thing happened, and NASCAR drivers got behind him, and you know,
I'm gonna get Rachel here. I'm gonna get Rachel.
And they had that big display.
Yes.
And it was really nice. I mean, whether the noose is intended for Bubba, whether it was a noose or not a noose,
I already made like affinity of those at scout camp.
It was still really nice. It was cool. So you know, I'm not taking anything away from anybody.
It was beautiful.
It was a nice
it
moment.
Really was. It was good.
So anyway, somebody, and I don't want to say who that somebody would be. I just happened to bump into a post that acknowledged that they were brought to tears by the Unity.
Please tell me who.
I don't want to say right.
Tom Mazzaway?
Male or female?
It was a man.
Tom Mazzaway?
No. You're in the ballpark.
Matt Jennings.
Hey. No, not Matt Jennings. He might have cried.
Matt openly admitted that on the Soul of Detroit new episode out now with Chief Craig, which great interview. he openly admit that he's a crier.
Matt Jennings?
Someone gave us a lot of shit because we make fun of guys that cry. I'm like, well.
No, there's been crying acknowledgments on this show.
Yeah, I've cried on air.
Lots
of time off the air crying.
Speaking of Maz, I was thinking we should call him.
So who is it? Can you at least write it down? my favorite guy. Did I tell a story about Jennings, his beloved uncle that passed away?
Well, can I first mention that Matt Jennings, did he actually fart on the Soul of Detroit?
Yeah.
No, that was...
Trudy, don't out who the farter was.
Okay. He said, okay.
Can we rewind the show a second?
Trudy knows the story. Matt texted me and apologized and said that was the seat on the truck. And I said, no, it wasn't. I farted. I openly admit it was me.
Oh,
he thought he was taking the heat to himself.
But I
timed it perfectly.
Were you trying to have it be covered up by other noise?
No.
No.
You were hoping to blast a fire down on
Soul Train? Yeah, because he honked his horn in his semi. He went bump, 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 bump. And I went,
Was your anus directionally pointed at the microphone?
Yeah, I learned from Brandon. How else are you going to do it? Duh.
There is a method.
What? Yeah. Oh, I believe that.
Oh, hold it up to the camera. I want to see.
We're not on Facebook, right?
No.
There's no way anyone can ever see this, right?
Ever
see this?
You gotta hold it up. Here, hold it up to that one. Here, I'll hold it up. I don't know if you can read that.
I don't know why it's such a big secret. Finding out that it was not intended for him.
I would ever wish. That was aimed right at me.
There we go.
Trajectory is right towards your belly button.
Boners and farts. We just got to get back to boners and farts. And I was really racking my brain trying to look for, some. I hate using the term lighter because it sounds like we're trying to be more like a Jim Harper show these days. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant I'm trying to get out of these zones
that's fine.
Stuck in.
It's fine.
And so I was thinking, well, we ought to give Maz a call. And actually, isn't
he won't answer our calls?
Well, try it. Try it again.
Well, I have a bunch of stories. Can I run them through? I think these are all light stories. You ready?
Hold on. Maz is replying.
Oh, great.
Go ahead. Start one.
Netflix is bringing back Unsolved Mysteries.
Wait. What? I got to tell you this right now.
What?
The host is extremely important for this. And the reason I say
Who's hosting it?
Well, Robert Stack.
But isn't he dead?
Is what? Dead.
These are reruns, though, aren't they?
No. It's the people that originally did Unsolved Mysteries are bringing it back to Netflix. And the trailer looks... It's just a bunch of lines of people going, and then he did this, and I didn't know why that existed, and this was that. But I was.
Robert Stack isn't the host.
Well, I don't know who the host is going
to
be.
No, when Brandon was working up to something.
I was.
The other thing that's
you.
Coming out is Perry Mason.
It's already out. Good. I watched the first episode. It's pretty bad. Cool.
So oh, really? I loved the show.
Perry Mason.
So Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries.
When it came out in '87, and I think it had a. I don't know. It had a short run time for, 5 years or something like that. Robert Stack episodes were chilling as hell. They were so scary. They used to just kill me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to, what year was it? 2008 when they brought it back. They had Dennis Farina, the actor.
Gross.
He was now the new host, and it just lost its luster. You need to have Robert Stack where he's just creeping everybody out.
But at least he's...
Trench coat?
Whoever it is, they're not going to be replacing Stack. They're replacing Farina now, so...
Man, that's Stack true. Is such a cool name. Robert Stack.
Hey, Stack!
Stack.
What are you doing, Stack?
Hey, he was creepy looking, and he had that great voice, but his attire was weird, and people always used to ask him...
Why, you dress like a school shooter?
That trench coat.
I don't think this the new version has a host.
What?
I can't find it anywhere.
They're trying to save money by not having a host is what they're doing.
Let's see. Jeff Ross is not a light story. We'll skip that.
What was Robert Stack JFK's roommate at one time?
Yeah.
He wasn't he?
Yeah,
because I thought I remember reading about what a swordsman he was, but he was kind of overshadowed by JFK.
Yeah. He probably got his sloppy second.
There was even suggestions of him being in three ways with JFK.
Really?
Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor.
What a scary three way.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Taylor's perfect for a three way because she liked it from behind best, according to Darwin.
Yeah, Darwin's probably because she didn't want to look at Stack and get scared.
She loved doggy style, so JFK's probably just ramming away back there, and Stack's in front, just his Unsolved Mysteries face.
My favorite part is that you just said...
wondering if I'd be able to find out.
My favorite part is that you just said, according to Darwin, isn't it Darwin Porter? As if everyone knows. He's the most quotable author.
He's this guy that wrote these
fucking great,
insanely gossipy books, had no fear of defamation. None. I mean, I don't think he ran it by a lawyer. And he doesn't write about anybody who's not dead, it seems. So maybe that helps him.
And didn't he talk like he had a very weird affectation in his voice?
Well, that's where I found out about JFK and Stack. And also, what else? And her liking the From Behind.
Yeah.
And I think in the butt, too. Maybe both.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe she was a
DP. So we'll get Porter on the line. Get Darwin on the line.
She might have been a DP fan. Who knows? Maybe Stack. Oh, could Stack and Kennedy have been DPing her?
Probably.
No.
Over the years, my ass has taken a pounding.
Isn't Bobby's in front? Could be a four-way.
Oh,
just saying. I don't know. Teddy?
Teddy. No, he was never. Yeah. He was beaten off in the corner.
Boy, these legendary swordsmen. It just seems like...
We talked to Darwin 2 years ago, by the way, if you want to check out
some of those
archives.
Did we? I thought...
Or did we not connect with him?
I don't think we connected with him. I think I spent a long phone conversation with his confidant slash PR guy, who had an equally interesting name. But I think what he said was that Darwin was not, health-wise, not doing too well.
That's right. It was Danforth Prince and Darwin Potter.
Holy shit, how do you remember that?
Because I just looked it up.
Danforth, he had the affectation. He was awesome. He's a great guy to talk to if you have 3 hours.
And allegedly, JFK not only had a three-way with Stacker, but he had a three-way with Elizabeth Taylor and Ronald Reagan. What? Two presidents in her at once? Wow. Oh, my God.
That's
what
awesome.
An injection of power. I mean, how cool did she feel when Reagan won? I mean, that DP was nothing until then.
This was playing in the background while they were banging.
Oh. Did they blow up right at the end?
I want a screenshot of Brandon when that drop did not play right away.
He's really bummed out. He's slowing down now that he's got a bowl full of tacos, a belly full of tacos, too.
It does seem that his touch is a little off.
Well,
since that hand came down.
I just landed on the Danforth Prince YouTube page.
Woo! Oh, he's full of good stuff. We should go back to him. We should call Maz, though. He's going to go to Kroger, but he's going to wait for us.
Why are we calling him?
To ask about Bubba Wallace. There were actually a few really sensitive stories that I wanted to get his take on because it'll be so unlike any other take.
Well,
it won't be heavy at all. It'll lead to no deep dive will be required.
So, typically, he... ignores a lot of like terrible stories.
He may not even, you know what?
But he
may not even
now.
Know the news is, he may not even know that it's not
oh,
a
he
news
will.
Intended There's, for Bubba Wallace. Oh, yeah, well, because it's sports.
But you, yeah, and you can't ignore it. I mean, it's everywhere.
I want to ask him some really heavy questions.
Tommy, can you hear me? Can you feel me near you?
This song so does
Asshole.
Not fit him. You could not possibly have a song about Tommy that fit Tom Mazzaway less.
Loves it.
Tommy, Tommy,
ass.
Tommy,
don't ask me.
Hey there.
Maz!
Hell, Sam.
Hey, Drew.
How's it going, Maz?
Good, man. How's everyone?
Doing pretty good. What was on the agenda at Kroger?
I got a few things to pick up. You know, a little milk, some odds and ends.
He's
got to
get out of the house, Drew.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know how it works.
How is the rap with Maz going?
It's going, man. It's going. I'm still doing it a couple days a week, Clarence and I.
Hey, the other
time doing it.
The other day when they didn't have your mic on at the beginning, did you throw your headphones?
No, I just don't. I don't bother anymore.
Yeah, man.
Anymore, there's that many.
I was just trying to listen to a random episode, and I popped it up. I wonder how Maz is doing. We were doing the show, and we popped it up. We couldn't hear anything for about 7 seconds, and then there was like a false start of some kind. Then here comes the music. It was like 21-second mark, and then I heard you, but it sounded like your microphone was turned down to one.
Yeah,
I could barely hear.
Like it.
Yeah.
Is that the one I said, let's start over again? Is that one?
I don't think I heard let's start over again.
No, but that and sounds awesome.
I was kind of surprised that you didn't start over again.
Well, I actually told them, let's start again, but they just kept rolling.
Boy, a lot of respect in that room, huh?
Is that because of the time required to start over? The
no,
2 minutes?
I don't think they get it, that's all. I don't think they understood it.
Now, have you had a meeting with them so they do get it?
No. I don't have any brand Dons there running the board. Put it that way.
Mm. Oh, boy. So there's really no point. It seems like the sit down might be in order because there's been a few little gaffes on
Brandon. Sounds like you just got some leverage, Brandon.
I appreciate that compliment, Tom.
Hey man, when you're working, I've been doing this for 24 years on and off basically. But when you're working with great people and then you go work in a place and they don't really know what the hell they're doing, it's just very frustrating.
Ooh, that sounds like a shot.
Wow.
That's just like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Is there anybody there that's mean to you like I am?
No, not really. They're all pretty cool.
Not mean to you. Shut up.
We have a skeleton staff, so, you know, everything's fine.
What skeleton staff? Wait, how many people work on the show? You've got somebody doing the video, right?
Yeah, the video audio guys are in the back. It's just those two
guys. Wait,
guys?
Two guys? You have two
guys? Two guys.
Wow.
Yeah, two guys.
And then you got Clarence.
Well, me and Clarence, yeah. And you know, Darren has his people.
And Dan Dickerson's a regular, too. Isn't Dan Dickerson a regular?
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Dickerson.
I haven't had Dan on probably a month and a half. I should have him on tomorrow. That's a good idea.
But yeah, with all the new baseball rules, baseball starting up.
I know. We're going to have a... We're going to tackle that tomorrow. We kind of tackled it the other day. I kind of like the new rules, to be honest with you.
What, the man on second base and extra innings?
Yeah, I do. I like that. Of course, I like the DH in both leagues.
I'm not happy about that. What? Is that is that permanent?
No, they're going to let it go next year. Then it's going to go to a complete vote after that. Let's face it. They don't get along with each other. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. So who knows what's going to happen.
Now, what about the idea that they should just let the lineups reset at every half inning? Do you think they should have accepted that idea?
No, I don't get that one. What are you talking about?
Well, you just the lineups. You could just set your lineup at the beginning of each inning, however you want it to be, so you don't circle through the batting order. I think that's brilliant. I think that's the best idea I've ever come up with.
Wait, that was really discussed?
That's been my idea for years. Why not see the best players go to the plate?
Yeah, we see Trout bat every inning. That's true.
Nobody wants to see the ninth and eighth hitters. Thank you.
Maz, what about COVID-19 and baseball? Now, we heard they were going to be in a bubble so that they didn't go to bars and go spread around a bar and come back. But now they're not going to be in a bubble. But they are. Now, I did hear this. They're not going to touch the bases with their hands. The players are supposed to slide with their feet and never touch the bases with their hands. And pitchers can no longer lick their fingers because they do that to rub the ball up when they're off the mound.
God, how stupid.
I know.
Nice
Wouldn't having the players live in a bubble be a lot more effective than that?
Why don't they just play in a freaking spacesuit, for crying out loud?
Yeah, or the condom from The Naked Gun. Remember the sex scene?
Exactly. That's even better.
A spacesuit.
Play, man. Hey, kids sports, man. I'm hearing so much about, like, the high school. When they're going to try to do volleyball this summer all of a sudden now. They're going to try to play these summer league volleyball games. They're rubbing. There's a new ball every time that that the ball's in now.
Oh, man.
They're going to have, of course, a new... They're going to rub the leather right off the ball, basically, by wiping it down so much.
Maz, you're going to have to have a fundraiser for new balls, aren't you, for extra balls?
No question. No question.
You think they would want some buffet assaulting tickets?
I know. And Abby's back playing softball. She plays her first tournament this weekend.
And this was actually their statement that they released regarding the high school sports.
Watch your smelly ass and balls, you nappy motherfucker, you.
That's it, yeah. Thank you.
Maz, what about the parents at the volleyball game? Are they going to, what if they don't socially distance?
Good point, Drew. I hope they social distance. You know, it's crowded, man, in those gyms. We'll see. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to play any sport, to be honest, perfectly honest with you.
Man,
how are they going to do it?
I would love baseball if they were all in hazmat suits. That would be so cool to see them try to play, because you learn a lot more about the athlete.
How many baseball players are there? In the major leagues. Like, how many? Well, are they 40-man rosters?
25.
750?
About 900.
Are they going to have 40-man rosters for this 60-game season, or is it going to be?
That's true.
Yes, they are.
It's going to be.
That was a good guess, by the way. 882 players.
882?
So they'll be like 1,200 if they expand the roster.
So, Maz, what about... I'm going to change the subject because it's not a sports podcast, but we do talk a lot about. Well, it's nice to get an update from
baseball
Maz.
When I was a kid.
But we do talk a lot about issues surrounding sports that are important, and this news thing with Bubba and NASCAR.
Yeah,
Maz, what is your take on that? And I'm expecting a really hot take here.
It smells to me. You know, it smells like the Jesse Smollett thing, but you know he's not Jesse Smollett.
Boom!
Obviously, I just don't know. I don't know how NASCAR put this out without really knowing anything. I mean, they look like a bunch of assholes. I mean, it's terrible.
Why did they put it out?
I don't know.
Well, I think
I don't know.
The way I understood it is someone in the garage saw it, took it to NASCAR, so they see a rope not in the garage, not on the door, and said this was in Bubba.
The guy I know.
Bubba Wallace's garage than they showed him. And then they said, we're going to investigate it. I mean, doesn't NASCAR get a little bit of credit for taking something serious?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you're going to lose no matter what on this one. Well, no matter what, I think they come out looking good.
What if you wait a couple days and find out what's going on? And then, I mean, does it have to go to the media immediately so Guy Gordon has to yell at people on Monday afternoon? Trying to be Mitch Albom Jr.?
Well, come on. It probably would have.
Is Guy yelling at people?
Then if it gets out and then it's a big cover up. Right?
Well, no, they say, we're studying this. We have 15 FBI agents looking into it.
Here's the crazy thing.
Why do they have to tell the media?
NASCAR's investigation is still going on.
Okay.
The FBI,
well, why aren't they telling us what's in the investigation? We should know. They have to tell us immediately.
The FBI is done with it, but NASCAR. I think NASCAR is going to come out looking good in all this, believe it or not.
I don't think NASCAR looks bad. It's just that, why did we have to go through this stupid news cycle?
Exactly.
Thank you, Maz.
I mean, I watched the Sunday Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt, and the first story, he's like, got no color in his face. He's talking about this story, you know, like it's the end-all, be-all, and it was a disgusting story. And now to find out that it was just bullshit.
I know. It is insane, and there's so many stories exactly like this that get everything all wound up, and then we find out, oh, there's more to the story. And
did you hear about the Grosse Pointe South High School today?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Grosse Pointe High School.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, Drew. We talked about it.
I know.
No, not you, Tom, but we talked about it earlier.
Wait, refresh my memory.
They said there was a noose there, but that was the one. You got mad, and I said, I'll take 10 seconds. And I said that it was found next to the window. It was part of, like, blinds, which who hasn't looped a blind cord like that? So
I did not remember
that.
It was Grosse Pointe South. How big a deal is it, man?
Well, I think it's a bigger deal because it is Grosse Pointe South, just like Alabama. Yeah.
Exactly. Grosse Pointe, you know, they don't want that kind of news coming from Grosse Pointe. That's the last thing they know. They already get a bad rap from the border
exactly.
of where Grosse Pointe South is and where Detroit starts. It's always a war over there. I mean, it's always people arguing.
Maz, I love that take. That was a great take, Maz.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Agreed.
Now, as far as Grosse Pointe South, when was it discovered? And again, I'm wondering why we know this. Did someone post it on Facebook?
Yes, it was posted. It was like the Grosse Pointe News, I think, and they put it out on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's like at 9:40 this morning.
The Free Press picked it up, too.
Okay, so we're all talking about it. I'm sure it'll lead the 5 o'clock news or be close to it. And I mean, what do they know?
They don't. Like Mark said, the drapery. It was part of the window. I guess it could have been a guy, you know, screwing around, or it could have just been the way they hung the drapery.
Let me put it this way: have they established that someone did this on purpose to offend people or to upset people, or that it's just a big nothing? Have they established either one of those things?
No, a construction worker found it and turned it over.
Right.
That's all we really.
And they stopped construction for the day.
Yeah.
So they could look at it.
They stopped construction for the day.
Yeah.
Is that out of respect for the horrific thing that may have happened?
No, it's because the local authorities had to come in and investigate it. Like they did at NASCAR, but it was too late there.
Have you seen this? Have you seen a picture of it yet?
No, I have not. I have not.
I don't think they've shown one yet.
Okay.
I'm curious
where this will land in the news cycle. If this will be a big story, and of course, how long? We don't know how it will end. But
once again, look
how much time we take up on these kinds.
Well, once again, Tom, like Tom and I said, because of the history that they've had in Grosse Pointe South. As with Alabama,
well, that would be even better to wait and find out if it's a real thing or not a real thing.
Who do you want to wait?
Well, whoever posted it and threw it out there, and
I think people are erring on the side of, you know, it being a real, because how bad would that look if it is a real thing and then they're trying to hide it?
I mean, is there really any problem? If you're investigating it, if you've stopped construction crews for the day to bring in investigators about a, you know. Well, maybe this is the right way. I don't know. I'm just saying the amount of time spent on these things, just like the Eastern Michigan thing, which that actually I understand a lot more than this. When the guy wrote spray painted the N-word and all those things, and they marched on the president's house, and they had all those protests, and they find out it's a black guy who was in jail when they figured it out. And some people didn't even report that it was a black person.
Do you think there's a real racist person out there that's like, this is my time. I'm going to hang a noose now because no one's going to think it's real.
Not only the
it loses the effect for them, too, though.
Not only are the racist people thinking, oh, my God, can I turn the world upside down? But there's fucking assholes who do it, too.
Nobody believes these. I mean, look, are blatant acts of racism like that, are they as common today as they were maybe 20 years ago, 30 or 40 years ago?
I think they're more common now.
You do?
I don't think we heard about them. I think people talked about
them. I think they'd be less common, to tell you the truth. I think so.
I think they would be less common due to the way just some of the, and I'll say it, the millennials and the Gen Z have acted and how they've grown.
Society's a little more open. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you're assuming that all millennials and Gen Z people, there are no assholes or racists in that group. And there are. There's always. You cannot make everyone think the same way. But what I think is that there's probably less. But in terms of hearing about it, it's a much bigger deal than it was then. Back then,
I think
it seemed
you're
like,
more of a racist than I am.
Maybe it was more tolerated 20, 30 years
ago.
You
know what I asked the other day? Look at the 1960s, Drew, and the guys. Look at all the assassinations and everything that was going on, and the war in Vietnam and all the protests then. I think we're worse off now than we were ever worse off back then.
If you watch TV, you would think so.
Yeah, I mean, but it's horrible. Our world is horrible.
I saw Morgan Freeman talking about this very subject, and I knew what he was trying to say, and I'm sure he got absolutely berated for saying it. He was saying that, look, do what you want to do, and you can do it. Nobody's trying to stop you, or nobody's going to stop you from doing something if you have a passion for it. Something to that effect. He was sort of saying he thought racism was far less in terms of trying to do what you want to do or somebody obstructing you from doing something. And he was referencing, I think he was referring to, if I had to guess, is when I first started following Major League Baseball as a kid and you start reading those biographies about Hank Aaron and Ernie Banks, people like that. I mean, in my lifetime, Major League Baseball players stayed in hotels different from the team they were on because they were black. You couldn't stay in the same hotel. You go back another 10 years, you got drinking fountains and separate but equal schools. And I mean, just stuff that you, I mean, it's stunning to think it happened close even to my lifetime. So it's, but in terms of hearing about it and, you know, like the Bubba Wallace thing, it's like I watch the news every day and the one day, the first seven stories, six of them were race related. And last night, what was the big story? The kid who was wearing a t-shirt and trainer shoes, tennis shoes. And he was not being allowed to go in. And by the way, I thought the maitre d' may be the thickest person. Did you watch the video, Trudy?
I did.
Yeah.
Did you think that he was... I thought he was incredibly thick.
He was a dipshit.
Yeah, he's a total dipshit. Either that or he's a huge racist. Because the woman is pointing to this kid who's outside at a table, and he's wearing almost the same thing her son is, but the kid outside is white. And she says, he's wearing the same thing. And the guy doesn't understand what she's trying to say. He keeps going, well, do you live close so you can go home and change and come back? I mean, he acts like he's trying to be so helpful, but he's really being either thick or... In fact, can you play the audio? It's a place called Ouzo, O-U-Z-O, in Baltimore. And the kid, it was like the lead story.
I was looking through Tom's Twitter. I spaced out. Sorry.
And then the other big story was about the mayor of Ypsilanti.
Oh yeah,
who said they asked her who she's going to vote for something, and she said, "Well, I'll just be brutalized if I don't vote for all the black people, because she's being criticized for not appointing enough, not being inclusive enough in her appointments."
Oh, nice, dipshit move.
So then she resigned yesterday, I guess.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was on and on from there.
No. Okay, go ahead.
You know what's interesting, though? She said, and everybody else said, that what she said was racist, that I have to vote for the black people because otherwise I'll be, you know, something terrible will happen to me.
It's pandering.
I don't know what to call it, but it's funny. I don't know if I would say it was more of a racist comment or more, I don't know. I don't want to talk. Why get in the weeds?
I know. I'm sure Tom was elated that we called and talk about racism.
Well, we wanted to go into some deeper issues with Maz and force him to go deeper.
He could eulogize Jim Kick.
Who? Oh, yeah, Jim Kick.
Maz, did you tweet about it? I hope you did.
I did. Of course I did.
And what can you tell us what you said about Jim Kick of the 17 Dolphins?
He's a Jersey boy. Always had liked the guy. Obviously, he's an AFL guy with the Dolphins, and of course, the best backfield in the history of football. That great 1972 undefeated team.
Mercury Morris,
and the Sundance Kid. Hey, did you get that tweet I sent you the other day, Drew?
No.
I sent you a Howard Cosell thing. It had that man in it probably 30 times.
Yes, I did. Let's see. Can I send it? Can you find it, Mark? Did you tweeted it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so sounds like a great one.
It's Howard Cosell talking. Is it the intro for Monday Night Football?
It was like a promo or a halftime highlight almost.
It was killer. No, it was absolutely awesome. It made me miss Hoko killer. So bad. But, Maz, did you mention Mercury Morris?
Of course I did. Zonka and Morris, of course. Mercury Morris.
I think that was your hashtag, actually. I got to go back and see if I can find it, but I think you did hashtag. Oh, yeah, you did hashtag Zonka Morris.
Come on, man.
Jim Kick was a Jersey guy?
Yes.
And he went to University of Wyoming?
He did.
Did you know?
He did.
Do you know that the University of Wyoming has played in a New Year's Day bowl?
Say that again?
University of Miami has played in a New Year's Day bowl. Did you know that?
The University of Miami?
University of Wyoming. I'm sorry. University of Wyoming.
Okay. I did not know that.
They did, with Jim Kick as their running back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who'd they play?
They played LSU. And they lost 20-13 on a nice comeback.
Man, that's a cool story.
Tom, do you remember the three fictitious fathers you wished Happy Father's Day to on Twitter?
The three fictitious fathers.
Okay, I'm going to guess. Well, it's got to be Ward Cleaver.
Ward Cleaver, I think you called him the number one dad.
Number one dad.
Which I'm sure Sammy would have something to say about that.
Well, yeah, he don't care.
Herman Munster?
No.
No, no, no.
He should be, Trudy. Hi, Trudy, by the way.
More modern.
What about Costanza's dad?
Mike Brady?
Oh, yeah.
Close.
Mike Brady?
Close.
Not Costanza's dad?
Close, no.
Oh, no. Close.
Jerry Seinfeld's dad.
Seinfeld's dad, yeah.
Yes, he's number one dad because he wears the shirt.
He has a shirt that says number one dad.
And father, husband, and teacher. Fictitious father, husband, and teacher.
Cotter?
No, more recent.
Great guess, Trudy.
Do you remember, Tom?
Recent teacher.
Father, husband, and teacher.
Wait, Robin Williams in Poets Society?
And chemist.
Oh, no, he's in that.
One of Tom's favorite shows.
Oh, Breaking Bad?
Yeah, Walter White.
Walter White.
he didn't remember.
He was not a good dad.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
In the beginning, he was.
He did it for his family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the whole plot. Yeah.
He made a crap load of money just for his family. He did it for them.
Man,
for
them. What about them? What about Mike Brady?
I love Mike Brady. I love him.
But
I absolutely love him.
He didn't break bad like Walter White.
I know. He stayed straight. But, as far as straight as he could go.
He busted his ass at the ad agency for him, though.
True.
He did.
Didn't he get Joe Namath to come over for the kids?
Yeah, Joe Namath. No, Bobby. Bobby got Joe Namath. He lied to Bobby, to Joe Namath, in a letter.
Was Mr. Brady involved in bringing Don Drysdale or Davy Jones over?
No, not Davy. Davy Jones was from Alice.
Wait, how did Alice know Davy Jones?
She knew his housekeeper. No, no. Oh. Hold on. No, she knew Desi Arnaz Jr.'s housekeeper.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you know this.
Now, Davy Jones overheard Marsha crying to the record producer, look, I promised that Davy Jones was going to do my senior class dance. So Davy Jones overheard that and came by.
Wow.
Okay.
What a caring performer Davy Jones was.
I just wanted Maz to know that there's a new Batmobile on the market, prowling around.
There is.
Yeah.
There are now three Batmobiles in the very close area. There's,
you're kidding me.
No, there's
Mel.
Yeah, Mel Guthrie,
of course.
Yep. And then we have our new friend
Kevin
in Birmingham.
Adele.
Kevin Adell has one. And then Barry's Barbara. Batmobile. I got to say, I think Barry's might be the best.
Because flame.
Has a battlefield.
Yes, he does. He also has a Lamborghini tractor, we learned today.
Why doesn't he put the Batmobile up on his water tower instead of the Dell?
Long 96? Because he wants to drive it.
Maz, I still am not clear on the third guest performance. Wasn't Don Drysdale on the Brady Bunch?
Don Drysdale was, but before him it was Wes Parker.
Wes Parker?
Wes Parker.
A late-hitting first baseman? I know who Wes is.
Yeah, from the Dodgers. He was, he was like an upcoming star back then.
Okay.
And Greg was in love with his fiance, who was his teacher.
His teacher was engaged to Wes Parker?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Now, he was engaged to Wes Parker.
I'm glad you tweeted about a story. You kind of had a little thread, because I remember you telling, I think you told this story on the air, but the time you chose to go to the Monday Night Football game over Game 7 of the Mets in 86.
Correct.
And tell the audience why you chose to go to the football game instead of the Game 7 of the World Series.
Well, Game 7 of 86 was supposed to be on a Sunday night. My friends and I had tickets. Couldn't wait to go. The fucking game got rained out till the next day. But I already had tickets to the Monday night Giants-Redskins game. And I was taking a date with me. So I chose the girl and the Giants game, and I had my friend sell the ticket.
Man.
For the World Series. I chose the girl.
Hold on. Time out. We need to know, was she hot?
Yes, she was.
Extremely hot?
I was definitely over my head. I was over my head. I had to do it.
How far did you what base did you get to with her that night?
I made it all the way.
Oh,
what?
Well, then you made the right choice, right?
Really?
I had no choice.
No choice? What, she demanded?
Did you not want to?
Were you raped? Was she an info?
She was fantastic.
So wow,
she was from Bayonne. She was from Bayonne, New Jersey.
Where did this go from there, though? Was there a retap?
We had a little thing going for a couple of months after that.
Really? And why did you break up?
She was a bartender, and I was the bar manager at the time.
Three times.
Did she get preferential treatment?
She did get preferential treatment after that.
Down, and I heard
about it, too.
Now, have you ever...
heard about it.
Today, you would have lost your job.
Of course.
Now, have you really reflected back on the power imbalance?
Yes, I did.
Do you regret that this relationship went forward?
No, not at all.
Now the first time
she had power balance too.
You feel good. Can you make me feel
now? Did
is that actual audio? Yeah.
Did the Monday night game? Did that help seal the deal, or were you already dating her?
No, that was like a second time we went out together.
So it helped seal the deal then.
Yeah.
Oh, then
actually,
no regrets.
We spent the early part of the day, we walked around in New York City. I got a haircut in New York City. She was there with me. It was a fun day.
Wait, you took a girl to get a haircut?
Well, we walked around Greenwich Village and everything. We had a great time. She's like, why don't you get your haircut here?
Who gets a haircut in the middle of a date?
It was great. It was awesome. It was a really cool place.
We ran some errands.
Did she think that, maybe she's impressed because Maz got hotter during the date.
Brilliant.
It worked. Whatever I did that night, it worked.
He spent money to get hotter during the date. I think that is impressive. Now
here's how the night ended.
Let's not do it this way tonight. Let's go this way. I know, but I want to see your face.
Hold on.
You don't like to do it face to face?
No, I don't like that way. I don't like to see the face.
That's great.
Mark! You can get a doggy style, you can get laying on your side. Those are your only choices. My house and I get to see.
Got it?
It's genetic, if you know
get
what I mean.
Out and out three times.
Oh, I'm amazed that we have that audio. Now, had the deal been sealed on the first date?
No.
No. Okay. Were you stuck at first base? Friend zone? What was going on?
You hitting that?
It was like a friend zone.
God, you went from the friend zone all the way. Now I love the decision. You made a great call. The haircut too.
Thank you. I mean, 86 Jimmy. That was a tough one, man.
Raw dog.
Why did it end?
It's just, like to tell you the honest, God's honest truth, she had a boyfriend that I didn't know about.
What? Wait, okay, so I need to know, was the immorality of the fact that she had a boyfriend while she was getting it on with you, did you just immediately say, I'm out? Or was it just
no?
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
Or did her guilt get to her and she felt like, Maz, I love you.
Totally, Gru. You hit it on the head.
Okay.
Her guilt got to her, totally.
I was hoping I was hoping you took a stand and you would look really good here, but I knew better.
No, no.
Boyfriend. You could have mentioned
that. Dead.
That is fun.
Good.
I got another
fun.
Part of that. You want the back end
of
that story,
absolutely.
Too?
God, yeah.
Okay. Now, at that point, it was 1986, so I was 24 years old, okay? But here's the kicker. I had lived with my girlfriend prior to that, and I had broken up with her. So I had to move back home.
Oh.
So I was back home
Time out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why'd you have to move back home just because you broke up?
Because we lived together. I lived at her place, at my girlfriend's place.
Oh, did you pay rent?
Yes, we split it.
You split it?
We split it.
But it was her place.
It was her place. So I'm back home. So now here it is.
Oof.
I'm at, it's the evening, and I'm with this girl at her place. She goes into the ladies, into the bathroom. I'm like, shit, I got to tell my mom I'm not coming home tonight. So I sneak out to her kitchen. She's got the kitchen phone. I dial my mother, and I'm like this. I'm like, I'm not coming home. I'm staying by my friend's house tonight. Because my mother and my dad would have been waking up in like an hour. It was like, you know, 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
So he's going to be looking for me. Where the fuck are you? I don't need him, you know, getting nervous. So I had to tell my parents I was sleeping at a friend's house. And I had to do it quietly. And I hung up. Hopefully she didn't hear me. I don't think she heard me.
How old were you?
24. I was 24.
No, thank you, Trudy. Was there was there any further dialogue between you and your parents about whose friend's house you were at, why you were whispering?
Oh yeah, maybe a little bit after. Not then, of course.
If you hadn't called, because you you risked something.
I think she heard that phone conversation. Her response was,
"Looks like your dad's gonna get balls deep in your mom tonight."
No, she didn't hear it. I got away with it.
Maz, I'm shocked that you would.
I'm sorry. I don't even believe I told you guys that.
How could you
look her up?
Your dad got balls deep.
What was that? What was that, Trudy?
Have you looked her up on Facebook or social media of any kind?
I have not. I have not gone back.
Oh, can you text us her name?
No.
We'll do the investigation.
we won't say it out loud. We just want to see.
No.
We just want to see how she's aged. The deal with babes on Facebook, they get hotter as you scroll down, so we could probably find her in some hotter state.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's a beauty.
Hot.
I'm sure she's a beauty.
Is that known, just by the way? Babes. Do people talk about that if you want to see a chick get hotter, just scroll down on her Facebook?
Oh, for younger photos, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I think that's always
the
best
pictures. Only the best pictures make the cut.
Maz, you put all that beautiful over your head ass on the line by making that phone call. You were 24 years old. Was it really necessary?
I did it, bro. That's just me. That's me.
No, that's the right thing to do.
I mean, you put your mom ahead of nailing some really hot ass, and you never had it. It was strange too.
Did you ever think that Did you ever think, Tom, you could have nailed her and be like, oh my God, I didn't call my mom and tell her I wasn't going to be home tonight. I got to get home. See ya.
That would have put the reach up in doubt.
And then you could have said, look,
if we're going to have sex, that's all it is. Period.
Right. And no woman ever mess it up to the love of my life, my mommy.
Mommy.
Now, I want to know what you and this lady, she's obviously very attractive, over your head, clearly. I want to know what you shared, other than the fact that you loved how hot she was and she liked whatever she liked about you.
She worked for him.
Yeah, she might have been working me, Drew. She might have been working.
Really? You think you got used?
Yeah, well, she wanted to get better shifts, you know? She's got to
really?
Work, you know?
Yeah, wow. Little jokes on her.
Well, then
I think she likes me, though. I do think she genuinely liked me.
Were you hotter
AKA Little Miss Slut.
Were you hotter than her boyfriend?
I was at my hottest in 86.
What about her boyfriend? Did you compare yourself to her boyfriend? Did you ever find out who it was?
No, I never did. Excuse me. She lived with him, I found out.
Oh.
And he was away on business.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
Maybe
snuck in there. Wow.
And want to lay a couple of guys. And got out of hand. I don't know. You know, it happens.
Maybe that was Tom. Tom, have you ever been on Donahue?
I have not.
You never saw TV?
I've seen girls do this.
Have you heard the Donahue drop, Maz? I know you never listen to the podcast, but have you heard the Donahue drop we're playing?
I don't know the story.
Okay, you remember, of course, the girl that was raped on the pool table in 82, was it, 84?
84.
You're talking about Jodie Foster?
She
played her.
Yeah.
She was raped by six guys who are from, where were they?
Somewhere in Massachusetts.
No, I mean, weren't they from another country?
Oh, but they're Portuguese Americans. Yeah,
on a pool table. And originally, when the first story first came out, I think they said that the crowd was cheering at the at the bar.
Yeah, and the guys were. I thought all the guys were rooting each other on.
Yeah, I think that's how it was portrayed. Well, anyway, there was a Donahue show on this very topic, and some people were standing up for the guys. Well, there were at the time. Some people were just saying, "Oh, she's a slut." She
a lot of victim blaming.
And one guy got up, and I thought, put it in perspective. You want to play the audio for Maz?
When's rape? You know, you got to maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand. I don't know. You know, it happens. You know the story.
I don't know the story. Well, then you should read the paper.
And I seen girls do this.
Yeah, but don't get crazy now. We're here to learn.
His point was well received.
I did not know that. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah, no, we've gotten a lot out of that. I think there's been a lot of perspective shed on the event that hasn't been discussed over the years. So, Maz, what is the plan? The show, the Rap with Maz, is about a half a day away. And so I'm sure you've done some prep and you've given a lot of thought to topics tomorrow. What is planned?
We got Bob Nightingale from USA Today tomorrow.
What?
Baseball writer extraordinaire. You know Bob Nightingale.
That's a big get.
Yeah.
He's a good man. And Dickerson's we have baseball's diversity director on tomorrow. MLB's the diversity director on tomorrow as well.
Do you think do you think there'll be any fast forwarding through that segment?
No.
Well, sounds like a great one.
What ethnicity is the diversity director?
He's African American.
Do you think talking about diversity is he talking about diversity on the rosters?
You know what? I'm really not sure what the hell he's talking about.
Did Clarence book this one?
Well, currently the MLB's chief diversity officer is Renee Tirado.
It's not Renee. I'll tell you his name. Hold on.
Okay.
Is it Corey Smith, maybe?
Yes, it's Corey Smith.
Okay.
And what led you, I mean, there's a lot going on, the Bubba thing, the noose, now we've got Major League Baseball. This is huge news, and somehow the decision has been made that talking to the diversity director of MLB would be probably a very topical thing.
Black Lives Matter and the news a lot, and, you know, we're going with that route. But first we're doing the baseball, and then we're going to go to him.
First
we're doing Nightingale, then we're doing him.
Maz, can you explain, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, but can you explain why aren't more African Americans going to NASCAR races?
I don't know, Drew. I don't go to NASCAR races. I'm Arab American. I don't know. I just not my sport.
I'm not talking about you. I'm saying when you have one African American,
it's not their sport. Not their sport.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I've been looking at a lot of the Twitter garbage, which, you know, like I think Bubba Smollett was actually trending, wasn't it, Brandon?
Yes, at one point I saw Bubba Smollett trending. This was before it had come out that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't for him.
They thought it was a fake from the get-go, the people that didn't believe, obviously.
Right.
Thought it was a fake from the get-go.
And I think that's the negative that like a situation like Jussie Smollett, when that happens, that causes future issues to be questioned.
Of course.
Well, next time.
We called that when it happened. We said that. That was one of the main reasons he should have been prosecuted.
Well,
Got away, man.
And that's funny how when it happened, it took a long time. I mean, there was all this investigating, people busting their asses, and yet people were so suspicious, especially people in Chicago. But I was wondering about NASCAR. I was thinking, why is that such a white sport? And I thought, you know, I feel like on a hot day, I just think, and this, you know, I don't even know how to describe why I think this or whether it's terribly wrong or not. I just couldn't picture a lot of black people sitting in stands wanting to watch people drive in circles as fast as they can. It just seems like a redneck thing to me.
I just don't know how anyone likes it, to tell you the truth. I appreciate what they do. I just don't like it. Not for me.
No, I do too. I respect what they do. And I mean, these guys take enormous risks. But if the drivers, if like half the drivers in NASCAR were black, I wonder, would the crowd be, you know, a lot more black?
Maybe a little bit more, but not a lot more, I don't think.
If
you look at Tiger Woods, look at what Tiger Woods did for golf.
Yeah. And for Ambien.
Are there a lot of black people going to Talladega to see Bubba Wallace?
Well,
I don't think so.
Isn't that part of the problem, maybe where some of the locations are? And that's why they tried to expand to Vegas and Dallas and some of the other major metropolitan areas. But it's rooted. Look,
to get black fans?
Well, just to expand, to get a more metropolitan group of fans, too, so it's not viewed as so redneck. And I think NASCAR's actually done a pretty good job with that, but their viewership's just gone down and down and down because I don't think many people like it as much.
But it is.
But it's, you know, it's only been around for, what, half of now? Probably 70 years or so. That's only
a pretty long time.
Well, I mean, that's only a few generations from where it was birthed from.
But I have to say, We were watching golf, like, in the mid-70s. There was Lee Elder and a bunch
of white guys. Calvin Peet. Yeah.
And, I mean, it wasn't like the door was shut, and I'm sure it was hard for those guys. But then Tiger Woods comes along, and I remember hearing all these black kids are golfing now. And are they golfing or are they just not on the pro circuit?
Golf is expensive.
I don't think there's a lot
of African American kids playing. There's just as many playing hockey. You could say hockey then.
Yeah,
golf is very, very expensive. I mean, especially if you're in the near a city, because the tee times are all crammed in together. But it depends. You can spend a few hundred dollars just on your clubs, but some people spend thousands. But when you just go out for a simple 9 holes or 18 holes at your local course, that can cost you anywhere from $50 to $150, depending on where you go.
You know, people say the same thing about hockey, is that hockey's so expensive for a kid to play. Yeah. But how many? There's a lot of black guys in the NHL, aren't there?
A lot more, yeah.
I think there's only maybe 10 right now, right?
Is that all?
Yeah, there's not a whole hell of a lot.
Well, it used to just be Grant Fuhr.
I just would think that NASCAR has been around long enough that if black people were interested in it, they would be drivers, just like there are players in the NHL. But if for some reason, it seems like it's hard to break into as drivers. It may be the imaging. It may just seem like so redneck and so white. I don't know. But for some reason, I have a hard time seeing a lot of black people in the stands I have trouble seeing myself in the stands.
So. Tom, you've been watching... You've been watching a lot of soccer since that's a live sport that's back?
No, I don't watch.
You're the worst.
I'm still doing my own thing. You know that. I'm watching my own games.
You're just the worst.
You know what I watched the other day, Drew? A great piece on Jack Buck and all his great games.
Did you watch the 30 for 30?
Mass, take me back.
Did you watch the 30 for 30 on, Long Gone Summer?
Yes, of course.
Did you laugh out loud when you saw Jack Buck crying?
I loved Jack Buck crying. That's my guy.
But, Maz...
He was retiring, Mark, for crying out loud.
This is a guy whose home games were the St. Louis Cardinals. He got to watch Mark McGwire his entire step of breaking this record, this old record of 61 home runs.
So?
And he's on his way out of baseball, which he's dedicated his entire life to. And he gets in person and call a historic moment. Oh, and he got a little teary-eyed. He
probably saw Sam Usual nude. I mean,
if you guys remember, Mark McGwire was bawling his eyes out, wasn't he?
He was.
No, yeah, he wasn't.
Yeah, he had to be. If Jack Buck was crying a little bit, then Mark McGwire must have been bawling like crazy.
Tom said, oh, yeah. You're such a liar. Crying.
Wait. The one thing I need to know from Tommy, though,
Jack Buck was the only one crying.
Tommy, Ken Osmond died a couple years ago.
We've not properly eulogized Ken Osmond from Leave It to Beaver. He played Eddie Haskell brilliantly.
God bless him. You know, I watched like back-to-back-to-back ones after he passed away.
In his honor?
Yeah, that's nice.
The Best of Eddie. I had to watch The Best of Eddie. I had to.
And, Maz, what were the best Eddie episodes? What were those three episodes
I'm just going to mention the same ones that I always do.
The only ones he remembers. I thought you had a nice eulogy for Claudel Washington on Facebook or on Twitter, too.
I think I just put a crying face.
You did. Yeah, emoji.
That's all.
Claudel Washington. How would you eulogize Claudel Washington? I mean,
really? I didn't. I just I felt sad for him because that's, you know, a kid. That's a guy I watched growing up. That's all.
He put an emoji. He put a crying emoji on.
Nothing else? You know what? If the Washington family called you and said, "Tom, we need a eulogy right away," what would you say about Claudel Washington? We'll give you 45 seconds starting now.
Well, Claudel was a phenomenal ball player. He played for a few teams. I can't remember the ones that he played for, really. He was a Yankee, I think, at one time. And you know what? I really rooted for him. He had a hell of a swing, very thin guy. You know, he's a good ball player, excellent ball player. He died way too young. That's all I know. Too young.
What about the man? What about the man, not the ball player, the man, Claudel Washington?
Yeah, he was a great guy, I heard. He was tremendous to the clubhouse attendance and just a good man all around.
Tommy, can you name three of the seven teams he played for?
I'm going to go with the Yankees. I'm going to go with...
Correct.
Did he play for the Mets?
That's correct.
I think he played for the Mets. Did he play for the A's?
He played for the A's for 3 years, yes.
I always remember him as someone.
Was he a Brave?
That's how I remember
him. Was he an Expo at any time?
No.
He was a Brave for 6 years, a Yankees for four, a White Sox for three, an A for three, a Ranger for two, an Angel for two, and a Met for one.
I believe he hit three home runs in one game with the Mets, Maz.
And he was an All-Star twice.
How old was he when he passed?
65, yeah.
Well, Maz, you were crying so hard when you punched the emoji that you couldn't remember how old he was?
No, not really.
I'm just glad in your eulogy for him you didn't mention the, wasn't he part of the cocaine trials, too?
Was he? I think he might have done a little yayo.
I think he was known for doing a lot of cocaine.
A lot of yayo, yeah.
Like Tim Barrel levels?
But he gave it up later.
No,
in life.
Dave Parker levels.
No, Dale Barra. Yeah, he was the league leader in cocaine back in the.
Dale Barra, remember he got arrested for peeing outside.
Dale Barra,
what a disgrace to his father, right, Tom?
What a bloop that was.
Now, I told you that story with Dale Barra, right?
What?
Didn't I tell you about Dale Barra story?
I did not know you had a Dale Barra story.
What? Dale Barra story.
Did he work for you at the bar?
No, he hit a foul ball at Shea Stadium while playing for the Pirates. And it knocked the soda out of my hands, and I still didn't get the foul ball.
I thought that it was Dale Barra.
Dale Barra, of all people.
Son of a bitch.
Okay.
It's not his fault.
Can we play the Hoko audio that Matt sent me? Because it was fantastic audio. I love those promos.
Phenomenal.
The music's great. The Hoko's delivery.
That man right there. Count how many that man, he says.
Oh, I got off.
Oh, I thought you were playing it. I'm sorry, Brandon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
This is how it goes.
Where was it from?
Tom Mazaway's Twitter.
Let me see if I can pull it out and send it.
Gross. No.
Sorry.
Wasn't it on his Twitter?
I thought that's what.
I don't want to see your wiener.
I didn't see it on his Twitter. But
did you know that Claudel Washington was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? I'm just adding.
No, I didn't.
What did he do? What did he do?
His foul ball, Bueller, caught in the movie.
Oh, well, at least Ferris Bueller caught his foul ball.
At least.
Oh, that's incredibly ironic. Well, I got it on my...
I'm sending it to you right now, Drew.
Okay. I'll send it to Mark.
Oh, my gosh. This better be worth it.
Yes. Wait, I thought it was...
Who put it on?
I thought you had it like a long time ago, so I didn't even mention it.
Well, I went through all of Tom's Twitter. I didn't even see it there.
How could Tom not tweet this out? It was so good.
What did you do? Did you just like it, Tom?
I think I retweeted. It was a Jeff Pearlman, and I know Drew gave up on Jeff Pearlman.
I didn't give up on him. He's just really heavy. I like him. I like his books. I do, and he's like a good guy.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, he is.
Here we go.
A week ago, Sunday, in the blizzard in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, with this touchdown burst by Franco Harris, beat the Bengals 7-3. Yesterday, they swarmed over Tampa Bay 42-0. Their playoff hopes still alive, but they must wait and watch that man tonight. Kenny Anderson, the brilliant quarterback of Cincinnati, will be throwing to his favorite target, number 85, the brilliant, elusive speedster Isaac Curtis from San Diego State, as the Bengals go against the Oakland Raiders. and the Raiders are led by that man with 23 touchdown passes thus far, Kenny Stabler, who throws to Fred Biletnikoff with maybe the best hands in football, and to the world-class sprinter from Colorado, number 21, Cliff Branch, who is averaging better than 25 yards per reception. He's the league leader in that category. Whenever there is more than offense, there is tremendous defense. Like here, as you see it, intense hitting again and again
I'd
again.
Love to have a voice
this
like
in their playoff game a year ago. And
this is the longest intro in Monday Night Football history.
28, won by Oakland, the Raiders had to hang on to win it against two late touchdowns by the Bengals. This was the winning
Oakland
touchdown.
Wait, is this halftime? Are these halftime highlights?
A throw to Dave Cass.
Slow down.
I don't know what it is.
The Bengals against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Stand by, 10 seconds there.
Are you ready for some football?
I say, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
I so prefer those intros. I mean, it was a long intro, but I loved the graphics and the production on the original Monday Night Football. I liked them much better.
I love anything that's old.
Wait. You guys really think the graphics were better then?
Well, yes, not the graphics as much. But
I do.
Let me ask you this. Could you guys watch a game right now without the little thing in the corner with the down and distance and clock?
No, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
No, I mean, it's not that I don't appreciate the things that have come since. I just, first of all, Howard Cosell's voice meant it was a big event, even if it wasn't a big event. Just
well, that's fine, Howard.
He had that sound.
I understand that.
How about him doing
I would definitely argue against that. The production value was terrible, and yeah. I know this because
not even high def.
I'm always forced to try to find things like, hey, Brandon, do me a favor and go find the fifth inning of the 1972 ALCS or whatever.
No,
and
so I'll go back
there. Do me a favor.
And they don't even put the fifth, like what inning it is on the bottom of the screen. And so I have to end up watching half the game.
They wanted you to get carried away and keep watching it.
Maz does retweet a lot of promos from Monday Night Football. And they're always good. I mean, of course, it's
hey, Drew, you know what I watched the other day? The 71 All-Star game, followed by Game 7 of the 71 World Series.
Whoa,
my very
let's
first
stop
World
talking
Series.
With this guy.
Wait a second. I think I just found my favorite Tom Mazzoli tweet. Of all time, and that's saying something. You retweeted, on this day in history, no. April 14th, Abraham Lincoln was shot. And you commented, seems like yesterday, hashtag on this day. That is fucking hilarious, Tom. That is a great joke.
And Maz?
Like yesterday.
It was really funny.
He was shot
John Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes, that man. John Wilkes
right there
Booth
in the Ford Theater.
And do you know who John Wilkes Booth? That man. Do you know who his doctor was?
No.
Mud.
Dr. Mud. And that's why your name is Mud. The expression came from that because
I'll be damned.
Yep. The doc.
Somebody bloop him.
Dr. Mud was ostracized for treating John Wilkes Booth.
Sweet.
That man. Who shot a bullet into the back of the head of Abraham Lincoln.
Poor guy didn't even want to go to the damn theater.
No.
What?
He didn't want to go.
He didn't?
Mary Todd Lincoln wanted to go, and she was a
That's
big
psycho.
Bitch. She was a nutcase.
Well, do you
like,
blame him? He
what am I going to do? Go through all the bullshit of getting out of this by talking to her? Or am I just going to go and shut
just
up?
Pacifier.
What are you going to do, shoot me?
Well, he liked going to the theater. He just wanted to go incognito.
I like to sneak into theaters without being noticed sometime.
Oh, God.
And did you guys know how much money Abe Lincoln had on him when he died?
I know.
Trudy, go ahead.
$5 bill.
$5. No, he had $5 in bills and change.
$3 and something.
That's why they gave him the $5 bill?
Yeah. No, it's just a total coincidence.
Yeah, they also put pennies on his eyes, too. When he died.
That's true.
They do.
Copper's good for that.
I was looking at stuff that Maz has sent me lately. Welcome to Radio Row, site of the Super Bowl's cutthroat celebrity, Hiraki.
What?
I'm not sure why Maz sent that to me.
I don't understand that.
Did you read the story, Maz?
Which one did I send you?
You sent me, Welcome to Radio Row, the site of Super Bowl's cutthroat celebrity, Hiraki.
Yeah, I was sending that to you because you hate Radio Row so much. I think you'd get a kick at that.
Well, it is kind of cool that there's lots of stars, but they're all pumping products.
They are.
Bullshit.
They're always pumping something.
Yeah, it's total BS.
I still love going.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you did.
It's a junket.
Well, is there any chance that NRM will send you the Super Bowl?
Nah, not a chance. I might use my Drew and Mike pass, though, one of these days to get there.
Someone asked me, how is the rap with Maz doing? And I said, oh, I think it's going fine. Maz is having fun, and he's getting paid. And they said, well, is it doing well? And I honestly was like looking after this person, the conversation, and I was looking through NRM, and I was thinking, I don't know that anyone would have more downloads than the rap with Maz.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Certainly gets the most
promotion. Does anyone?
I don't think so.
And do you think it's more of a function of some heated competition that you've come out on top of, or has there been some less than stellar decision making on who you podcast to?
I think basically it would be against the rabbi who got the most of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the rabbi was their big show.
Rabbi Spee is fun.
Wow, he looks like a real pro.
Yeah, they were, when they were interested in or trying to talk us into going over there, I was like, well, what shows have you developed? Like, oh, this rabbi show has some audience. And like, oh, really?
Oh, we got Garrel Valley. Val, he's very good. He's
who?
Garrel Valley.
The skateboarder?
He's an inspirational speaker, skateboarder, Tony Hawk, yeah. Buddy, that kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
How's it doing?
Cool.
He does really well. And the motivational cowboy, JD, he's a good guy. Good cool. Fun to listen to him. Or Darren McCarty.
Yeah, Mac.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
Mac. I love Mac.
How's the Mac show doing?
He's doing good, man. He's enjoying himself. He's got a little spinoff show on WJR on Friday nights, too, with our old buddy Sean.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that Darren seems to show up on your show a lot, which is kind of like having the Green Hornet on Batman.
Oh, that was
a lot
great.
Of crossover.
That crossover. Great. Those crossovers were the best.
But here, Tommy, do you really think that the boy wonder, Burt Ward, could hold his own against Bruce Lee? Really?
Of course not. Of course not. But you know what?
Fake news.
I was a kid. I thought he could.
In the Kenny Osmond episodes, Maz, which three were they? Because I think we got lost in the excitement.
I don't really give you any three. I really didn't give you the three. It was too much pressure.
Nothing there. Okay.
Too much pressure. No, I came up empty.
All right. So how are the kids doing?
Probably hungry because Dad hasn't gotten back from Kroger.
That's right.
Kids are great. I had to not go into Kroger because I was talking to you guys. So now I came back home, and I'm going to get back in the car and go again.
Have there been any incidents regarding COVID or Jeter and letting Jeter out?
No, we've been good. Jeter's still pissing in the house and went up.
What?
By the way, Drew, I'm very sorry about Layla.
Oh, thanks. God, terrible.
I'm sick over
it. It was the worst. I was sick.
I haven't even
sick.
Told the girls.
Oh, you told the? Oh, you haven't told
I
them?
I haven't told them. I have not told them.
I know. That's what I do. I can't bear to tell people. It's so horrible because it just makes it horrible all over again.
I told Charlotte.
Yeah,
tell them.
Don't cry.
They can man up. They'll be fine.
And Zeus. What about the phone?
Make them watch The Lion King, Circle of Life.
Yeah, I know.
Maz, the phone collection business?
Phone collection's going well. Maddie's really bought into it.
Wow.
My little one.
Maddie!
And what about
Lily and Abby?
What about the percentages on the phone plan?
Yeah, the percentages are still going way high towards Abby, Maddie in second place, Lily in third,
Lily,
me in fourth, Kathy, and then Grandma pulling up the
Grandma. Annie. Have there been any new laminations on the kitchen on the refrigerator?
No, not really. Kathy's done with school finally, so now she can just have her summer to do her thing, and the laminations will take place again. Probably in August.
What are the COVID policies regarding the pool?
Not too many people over. Very few. And mostly the same people come over, the same girls and boys.
Are you contact tracing all the guests?
Are you checking their temperatures?
I'm not. I'm just trusting them to feel good and they're healthy. That's what we should all do, basically.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's worked well.
Yeah, I know.
All right,
man. How are they ever going to play ball, huh?
I don't get it.
How are you going to play?
To that point, I saw a tweet today about regarding college football, and someone just did some short math, and they said 0.3% of healthy 20-year-olds with confirmed COVID get into the ICU. Pretty small amount.
Oh, yeah, very small.
And so they said, okay, let's say that's 0.1% with more testing. There's about 70,000 college football players. Let's say only 10% of them get COVID. That's 7,000 players. 0.1% of 7,000 is 7. So what happens when one of these... Let's say seven guys. Wow. Let's say it's half of that. Let's say it's three guys and up in ICU that are college football players. That's the end.
Yeah.
They won't keep playing. They won't take that risk.
Well,
if it's too
big a risk for me to work out at LA Fitness until tomorrow, how can it be okay to tackle people and sweat on people and spit on people? I mean, it's just weird. But
the baseball rules, you can't spit, you can't celebrate with your teammates. Yeah,
that'll be enforced.
No high fives.
I mean, come on.
No high fives.
No, and how about you can't lick, like you said, you can't lick your fingers, but that's how you grab a ball.
You can't touch the base with your hand.
It's terrible.
It's so stupid.
Tell that to Ricky Henderson.
Amen. Yeah, he wouldn't have his 33 steal.
He wouldn't have 33 steal. Probably end up with one steal.
And 33 steal.
All right, Maz, listen, it's great to talk to you, and we'll be listening carefully to the rap with Maz to hear the diversity director of the MLB.
Hey. And Bob Nightingale, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. All right, Maz, take it easy, bud.
See you guys.
We'll
bye,
see you.
Rudy.
Say hi to everybody.
Bye.
Say hi to Jeter.
See you guys.
Okay, bye.
I'm Jeter. Don't you want to take Jeter out? Well, I guess Jeter doesn't care. Well, that could be controversial.
Ass. I'd rather sleep with Bruce. Can I help to cheer you? Mother effer.
Tommy.
That's horseshit.
Tommy. Oh, I can't. Tommy. I honestly cannot figure out how, Tommy, how these sports plan to play. And
you butt out.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it either.
Trudy.
Mm-hmm. Not touching a base with your hand?
Yeah.
That almost makes it sound dumber.
Yeah. Don't you just see, like, one of them getting pretty sick and they're going to go, all right, yeah, that's a bad
bounce
idea.
Home.
At least for the sports that are have more players. That's the problem with college football. There's, what, 125 schools? And the rosters have 125?
The fact that they're unpaid.
That too.
And they're student-athletes, and the fact they try to pretend that they really are student-athletes, then it sounds really ridiculous. And when, I got to tell you, I had to chuckle when University of Michigan canceled the debate over COVID, but they've got football players practicing, tackling each other. And, I mean, what?
Which one makes them more money?
Well, no, I know, but don't tell me that you're really that worried about COVID at a one-night debate when you've got students in dormitories and classes every day.
Yeah, it's ludicrous.
And they're
I don't think they want the circus of whatever this debate's going to bring.
Yeah, and the social unrest.
But it's prestigious to have a debate.
It's more prestigious to have it and then cancel it for something like COVID because...
Well, if nobody else wanted it, maybe, but... What is it? Miami?
It's in Miami now, yeah.
Miami.
Where in Miami?
I have no idea.
It's been a funky week for UM. First of all, the debate cancellation, and right away my brain goes to, wait, aren't they having football practices? Are they really that worried about COVID? And they're inviting students back to school, so then I'm reading about, and honestly, as far as canceling debate, I didn't really hear anybody bitching about it. Did they?
The debate? No.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Although it's a big event. I mean, that's a big deal. But whatever. UM announced that they don't owe students refunds for switching to online instruction.
Yeah.
Saying we have the authority to decide any instruction method we want.
You know what I laughed about?
That doesn't make teachers sound very important.
Well, I mean, they can instruct online.
Yeah, but if you can do it online, then why do you need to go to this school and pay all this money, you know, for all the other stuff? If the education is just the same.
I guess all the eight major schools in the state are being sued over it.
Yes. And they're actually using, I think it's part of the First Amendment saying academic freedom. I didn't understand the connection to the First Amendment. But anyway, why isn't the Constitution canceled? Look at all the slaveholders. Aren't half the people? I mean, help me out here. Aren't half the people who wrote the Constitution?
You will not get any argument with me about redoing parts of the Constitution.
Well, no. Me neither.
So fucking old.
Believe me. Yeah. I mean, I can't understand how a document could possibly not need some serious updating when you go far.
There's someone so mad right now.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm
talking about the amendment process. I mean,
it's the hardest constitution to amend.
If Francis Scott Key has to be knocked down and George Washington has to be knocked down and Jefferson has to be knocked down, I mean, canceled, the University of Virginia president cannot quote Thomas Jefferson requests from the faculty and students because he was a slaveholder, then how can the Constitution, the most important document in the United States of America, which was created by, I think it's 49% slaveholders?
I'm surprised it's that low.
Well, I'm
Didn't
not sure
Calhoun
that
sign
right.
it?
Who?
Calhoun. We remember we were just talking about Calhoun.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
I thought he signed it.
No, there's, I mean.
John C.
Is anybody going to suggest that? Because I can't believe nobody said it yet.
That's so sacred. Nobody would dare even suggest that.
Wait, well, what do you mean? Nobody
Constitution.
Would dare?
No, people.
But it's slaveholders. I mean, if you have to take the statues down. I mean, the Constitution is a lot more important than statues.
You think? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot more important. So anyway, this class action suit was, I don't know, I thought Michigan's response was a little cold and a little unfair too. But money, money, money. So students, of course, said that it's not what they paid for and they want refunds because they all took classes or they were forced to take their classes online.
Yeah, good luck with that.
They can do whatever they want. These are their students, though. These are their precious students who they love so much, who are part of the cult. I mean, it seems like you're endangering the cult when you treat the students poorly.
I wonder how many students were probably thinking before this, oh, some of these classes were online.
Oh, students? Yeah, they don't want to go to class.
No.
No, it's much easier. But then you risk do they need to go to Ann Arbor then?
No.
Some of the comments are funny. Students get kicked in the junk, just like a visiting speaker, just like a visiting conservative speaker. If you think an online class is as valuable as an in-person course, you didn't graduate from a reputable university. And I think that's a joke, I assume. And then students face that you're just a number, which if you don't know that, then I feel bad for you. But also... One final addition, it may not even be the final addition, to the bad week at U of M was the Dr. Anderson case. They have ordered the president, Schlissel, to appear. Now, they had to appear in court. He had appealed successfully not to appear. And I'm really amazed that he's really escaped this thing because he sat on this for 18 months. And I thought he's canceled. He has to be canceled based on some of the other people who have been canceled. And the AD sat on it, too. And then also the judge ordered them to not contact any of the victims. So I don't know what that means exactly. But that story is kind of sort of lost in COVID, I guess.
It'll come back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad because on the one hand, you sort of get through something and it's gone. But I don't know. I mean, that's probably going to be a long case anyway because I know Michigan is trying to dismiss a lot of it based on statute of limitations. Mm-hmm. Which, God, I wish there were more statutes of limitations. All right, you want to hit the outro? Mm. I can't believe how much time Maz Vampire.
A whole hour.
Yeah. All right. Everybody want to take a day off tomorrow?
Yes, please.
Trudy seems like a fan. Brandon?
I got to do No Filter Sports, so I'm good either way. I'll do your show. I'll do his
Brandon,
show.
Brandon, that's a suck-up answer.
I'll do everybody's show.
I know Mark needs a day off.
I'm not going to say no.
Mark needs a day off.
Sounds like
no, I don't.
Sounds like 4-0. So.
I'll probably be excited to come back in on Friday for the Duff.
Mark, when is the last time you had a two-day weekend?
Well, pre-COVID.
Maybe we can take Sunday off, too. Hello?
Okay.
Hey, can you at least say you had dinner with me?
It's up to you, man.
Yeah, let's play it by ear, because we definitely...
honestly, I thought we were going to take more time coming up.
We are.
In about a week, so...
Well, we've worked all through the COVID and, you know, all the protests and all that, and which in the end is, seems like...
Somebody's got a case of the sleepies.
It seems
to
be...
It's battle pay.
We should have taken a week off in April and a week off in May. It would have been smarter, but oh well. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. So, okay, Sunday, maybe we'll call tentatively a day off, unless there's some gigantic, important thing. I mean, we'll get the day somewhere. So, all right, we'll see you guys on the Tuesday show, Facebook Live, if it's Monday afternoon, I suppose. Are you taking time off from Wheels, Trudy?
Yeah, coming up around the 5th of July, when you guys...
5th of July?
He's taking a break.
It's a long time.
Yeah, after making a long weekend out of it.
Okay, bye. See you Monday. Bye.
the Baseball Writer Association of America, Commission of Baseball. I also want to thank the memo to all my beautiful and intelligent daughter. So she chose it, baseball. I guess mom do knows best. Several of my high school friends, A-run score after my first 10 game, 25-run score, and 33 steal. My first year in the minors league helped me develop my skill. I received a call in front of my family and friend, John Morris of the San Diego Padres, and the other general manager and owners of Major League Baseball team.